The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
We're going to skate to one song only. Lady Hump by the Black Eyed Peas. What you going to do with all that junk inside my trunk? I'm going to get you drunk, off my lady hump, my hump, my hump, my lovely lady hump.
I don't even know what that means.
No one knows what it means, but it's provocative.
PFW in Progress with Red Kirsch.
It's over. All the endorsements, everything gone. Oh my God, I can't get a real job. It'll kill me.
Paul Perillo.
Is that your routine or a performance of Cirque du Soleil? Besides, you're too late. They already handed out the girls' medals this morning.
And Andy. And Andy?
You an official here? Because you have officially given me a boner.
Andy Hart.
Ah! Nutsack!
Hey! You gotta be careful, man. Unlike you, I actually use these things.
Hey, look, I didn't mean to drag your balls into the discussion. That was uncalled for. They're fine. I overreacted.
Eric Scalavino.
So how'd it go with your lady? Carve up any ice? With your wiener?
For now, anyway.
Mind-boggling, isn't it?
Did you just say mind-boggling?
Yeah, mind-boggling. You know, when things are so crazy, it gets your thoughts all trapped like in a bottle.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
From here on out, you guys are a team. Do you understand? You are going to eat together, sleep together. You are going to pee together. You're going to file a joint income tax return. Practice starts now.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. We are here on a Tuesday. It's a travel day for the New England Patriots. We'll be heading out to the Meadowlands later this afternoon. But we've got a lot to talk about. The third preseason game, cuts yesterday, Aaron Hernandez being extended, a great gala last night where Zoltan Mesko deservedly won the Community Service Award. So lots to talk about here in PFW Progress, and we're all here to do it. Andy, Eric, Paul, Fred, Kevin's in the booth.
Gresh, Zoe.
Zolak and Gresh are doing a show from the other room, so they might pop in. Who knows?
We've got to leave early, though, Freddie.
Well, we do. Yeah. Eric and I, the travel party, have to leave early at after 1 o'clock. So I don't know if what letter we want to designate.
A-team is what it's called.
A letter-designated team will be taking over Paul and Andy.
You have an email about that topic. You'll get to it later.
Yeah, I'll get to it later.
The A-hole team.
Yeah. So guys, let's start right out. First, the email address, webradio@patriots.com, and the phone number, as always, on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398, if you want to call in. Let's start with the cuts, because
yes.
I think that's the biggest news.
Gaffney, Stallworth.
We were talking earlier in the day
about
who might be a surprise. And, you know, not that we're taking credit for it or anything, but Gaffney did come up.
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah.
To me, the surprising part is not Gaffney or Stallworth. It's Gaffney and Stallworth in the same day, the first round of cuts. To me, that was surprising because I don't think anyone was really predicting they'd both get cut, and certainly not on the first round. Now, you're all up in arms because you think the offense has taken seven steps back because of it. But
all right, so this is typical Andy.
Wait. Let's get through the cuts.
Can we have a real discussion
let's
about that?
Let's get through the cuts
in
the analysis, and then we'll get to Fred's fears.
Really,
okay? Yeah,
it's not so much a fear as an observation. I'm not fearful. I mean,
fearful that they'll be back in the Super Bowl.
We'll get back to
exactly.
It.
Well, that's why I'm not fearful, but it's an observation, and we'll get to that in a little bit. But Gaffney and Stallworth being cut.
Yeah, I agree that the fact that both of them, you know, and I thought, you know, the Gaffney one, we'll have to see how this plays out. This seems to be a pretty widespread line of thinking that he'll be back. And he is not healthy right now. He went down late in training camp with a leg injury, missed the last two games, missed the Philadelphia and Tampa games. So maybe 3 weeks from now, if he's still available, I mean, there's a risk involved, you know, maybe he's back. But I'm not convinced of that because I don't really think he had a great camp, and I know I'm in the minority on that. I thought he was very up and down in terms of consistency. He was better than Stallworth was in camp, who I don't think was really overly inconsistent. I think he started off okay, and then he was just bad.
What about getting back to Gaffney? Overall, up and down in terms of consistency, is it fair for us to maybe say inconsistent in terms of effort? I mean, did we notice anything in terms of effort?
I did not.
I didn't in effort. No.
I didn't notice. Okay. I didn't notice an effort thing. But you know, clearly Belichick, you know, look at what he did. You know, we had all these veterans that we brought in, and we thought it was going to be this deep position. One by one, he's, you know, it started with Anthony Gonzalez way back in May, and then Ocho went. You know, and then you get to camp, and now Stallworth and Gaffney are gone.
Right.
So he goes out and he claims a wide receiver from Minnesota off waivers, Kerry Taylor, who spent 1 week here last year on the practice squad, I think in September, I want to say.
That sounds right. Yep.
So I think that he's telling you that he's not happy
right.
with what he has.
Again, go so, by what
you know,
he
health,
does. Yep.
No health. You know, Gaffney returning, he's not happy with what he has. Because if he were happy, he wouldn't have cut him, you know, to save a roster spot for 3 weeks until he's healthy or whatever it is. If he was happy about him, he wouldn't be worried about anything. You know, I know that nowadays, anytime a veteran gets cut with a chance to come back, it's automatically so his salary doesn't get guaranteed. Well, if you want him to be on your team, he's going to get his salary every game anyway. So how much are you saving by not guaranteeing his salary? Do you know what I'm saying?
Plus, in this day and age where there's not enough receivers to go around, I don't know how you make a move like that and feel confident that a team like the Jets or the Dolphins, two teams in your division who are very weak at receiver, wouldn't snatch
a guy. You know, the likelihood, you know, as much as, you know, he might be upset with the consistency of Gaffney, the likelihood of a player of his level being available that you need to save a spot for by doing what you just said, Paul, you know, releasing him now, is unlikely. So
and,
why
and
do
there
it?
Are,
yeah,
there
unless
are
you're
a lot
unhappy
of teams.
With him.
Well, yeah. I think he is. Yeah. You know, I don't. I think it's the group itself. I don't think he's really. You know, I don't think he's overly excited about what that group has done. And
be interesting to know what Tom Brady feels about the group.
We never will. But
yeah,
I agree
mean,
with you.
We'll know what. You know, whatever.
No, but you know, in the past, you know, there's been stories about Brady pouting when.
But
you know,
I think we're past that.
I wonder what he feels about these transactions.
I mean, he has enough guys. I mean, Deion Branch,
I mean, Branch
is his
Welker.
Guy. Welker is his guy. And I think Hernandez and Gronkowski have become his guys. Well,
they better
we're only
be.
Going to keep so many guys on this. It's not like 06 where you let Givens and Branch go and you left him with Doug Gabriel and nobody
right.
else. Rashay
right.
called. He's got enough guys where if he sulks, then he's just a flat-out baby.
Yeah, it's on him this time. In 06, I certainly would be sympathetic with Brady. You know, like Andy just pointed out, if he's sulking over not having the fourth and fifth guy on the roster for him, you
right.
know, that's on him.
And
he's
I mean, they even went out and got him a new weapon who's not necessarily his guy, but one that theoretically is a good fit
yeah.
with Brandon Lloyd and the McDaniels
right.
and all that. So Brady could not possibly have any issues, in my opinion,
and,
with what they do.
You know, I thought it was going to be kind of a stretch for Jeremy Ebert to make the roster, given all the guys that they signed and the history they had with Brady. Now I'm not so sure. I think he might actually have a chance.
Yeah,
even
I don't
though,
think
even
he's
he,
been very good.
That's
but.
What I say. Even though he hasn't been impressive, he's dropped some very catchable passes. He's been inconsistent. Just from a numbers standpoint, he might have to make the team.
He looked good in my mind when my assessment was a guy for
no
the practice
chance.
Squad who I'll develop. Now that I'm evaluating him as legitimately a 53-man guy,
yeah.
he doesn't look as good in what I'm recalling
no.
of having seen.
Factually, I think Eric is right. Numbers-wise, there might be a spot. I don't think he has a chance to make it. I really
what
don't.
About
I
Jesse
think,
Holly?
I think he has
no
a,
chance.
I think he has less chance than Ebert.
He has not been good.
No, he hasn't.
I like Hollywood and all, but no.
The only way I could see.
Hasn't really played it, though, either.
And you know,
only caught the touchdown.
No, he did. But yeah. I mean, and he's gotten some late games. But
a lot of drops.
If
practice.
I saw, because he's a big guy.
Yeah.
Holly's a
yeah.
bigger guy. I could see him contributing on special teams, but I haven't seen
right.
them do that for him. You know, if he was
right.
if he was integrated in some of these units, you know, in the kicking game, then
he's
I would say, hey,
personal
you know,
protector.
Not bet. Yeah, but like the second one, right?
Yeah, oh yeah.
You know, so I mean, I meant any. You know, if he was implemented on the coverage
Plus.
Units with.
How many wide receivers are we going to keep only for special teams?
Right, and I don't think he can do it. And I don't think Ebert has, you know, I don't think Ebert will make it either. But Eric is right. From a pure numbers standpoint, there could be a possibility. But I just look at it now as, you know, a lot of people were wondering, could they keep seven, counting the special team as well? Now it's back to five. You know, if you don't.
Are we discounting Kerry Taylor?
Yeah. I think he plays tomorrow night, and then he probably says goodbye
right.
Friday.
I was thinking that, too. I'm like, they need receivers for the game.
Right.
Well, there's two ways to think of Kerry Taylor. A, there's a guy with some familiarity with us who can come in and play in this game, and then we can cut him because we need guys to play in this game. Or this is the second time they brought him in. Maybe they actually have some
Maybe
sort
they
of
liked
liking.
Him last
That's a good point.
Year
I was only looking at it the first way, but your second point is valid.
Yeah,
I wasn't really thinking about that.
I was thinking, like, they had him here for that cup of coffee last year, but maybe they – they wanted to keep him around and couldn't.
Right,
just, you know, it just didn't work out with the other positions. And
but
maybe
they what he is.
Right. Wouldn't it be great if you could go through life like that and use the Bill terminology? You know, I wanted to go to the store, honey, but it just didn't work out.
Right.
I mean, you could get away with anything.
I wanted to leave the bar after two drinks, but it just
yeah,
didn't work out.
I thought I would be
buy
home
that
by
60-inch flat screen. It was the best interest of the house.
And she follows up. I've said all I'm going to say on that. I think we've discussed that.
Right. Yeah.
How quick would that divorce
right,
be?
Seriously. I mean, it's. I wanted to pick up the kids at school. It just. You know.
I did what I thought was in the best interest of the family. All right, let's move on.
And then I snored.
Any
at
questions
her.
About right. kids that are still here?
Right. Right. Kids right. move away to college. I'm right. only going to talk.
I'm
about
happy
the,
to talk about the children that are still in the house. Just, we don't have any children.
You know, when
end,
Eric
end of conversation.
When Eric just, you know, he was like, you know, maybe when he was here last year, you know, maybe we you know, we wanted to keep him, but well, we could have kept him if we wanted to.
I mean, that's a whole. I think that's a bit. You know, having a conversation with your wife in Belichick
speak. In Belichick
speak,
speak
yeah. yeah. I think that's a bit.
As I said, the divorce ends. Very, very quick divorce.
So.
And he is divorced, so maybe he tried that at home.
All right.
I have to work that into one of my
you know, this leads into the major transaction from yesterday. First Gronkowski, now Hernandez. Tied up. Everyone just lauding it as a smart move by the Patriots. I have to agree. I mean, you know, you're getting your young guys, and you go back to the comment that Robert Kraft made in the offseason about, you know, the limited growth of the salary crap. The salary cap, you know, forces teams to, you know, look at, you know, who are going to be your core guys going forward and getting them done early in an economical way, if possible. And they've done this. And, you know, Paul, you mentioned that this isn't a ripping up of Hernandez's contract and starting over. This is an extension.
Adding on.
And
that's what they always do.
A true extension.
And that makes it, gives them the ability to do it, you know, all at the same time.
And the players accepted it.
Right.
It's, you know, we're talking about off the air Greg Bedard's piece that this is some grand philosophical change. It isn't. They've done this all along with the guys who've accepted it. The guys who've accepted a true extension to the 2 years they have left or whatever it is have always gotten their deal, or almost always gotten their deal. Ty Warren, Gerard Mayo, they've all got true extensions. Where it became an issue with guys like Mankins, they didn't want to. They wanted to tear up. They thought they were underpaid for an extended period of time and weren't willing to remain underpaid.
Right.
That's
right.
The difference. Not this that the Patriots have said, oh, I want to do this.
And you're referring to Greg Bedard's piece in the Globe today where there's been this huge philosophical
right.
change with the Patriots, which really isn't true.
Right.
It's all about the player.
Yeah.
I think the Patriots have been remarkably consistent in their approach. Deion Branch, the first time around, Andy, was another example. He wanted to get more money. He felt like he was outplaying that rookie contract, if you recall. He held out before the 06 season. He was under contract. He held
right.
out. Richard Seymour's another guy. He wanted more money. Didn't want to, you know, continue those years on that contract. So if you're willing to take the, you know, extend the years, I get a lot of buzzing. You guys hear a lot of buzzing?
It was my phone interfering with the computer or
but
something.
But if you're willing to keep those years and then extend further. Now, basically, if you're Hernandez and Gronkowski, there's no certain thing. There's no 100% here. But more than likely, you're not going to be in a position when those contracts are over to get a big money, another big money contract.
Well, Hernandez might at 29.
And
that's
in 18,
he is young. Yeah, he's young.
If Welker
he was the youngest guy in the
31,
draft when he came
yeah.
out.
I mean, 29 is not overly old, especially if he's still healthy.
Yeah, look at how long Tony Gonzalez
well,
played.
It's the same thing as Seymour. Seymour's big one the Patriots gave him ended when he was 29, and the whole selling point was he can get another one. He's made like $50 million
yeah.
since then with the Raiders.
But that's where you're weighing
Bledsoe
it.
Bledsoe is the same way.
If you're the players.
Well, I put quarterbacks in a separate.
Okay.
If you're a
Peyton
player.
Manning got $20 million at
yesterday.
Age 36 with a bad neck, having not played last year. It's
yeah, I mean,
that's a
not,
different species.
They're not giving that contract to Tony Gonzalez,
right.
you know, if he's in
right.
the same
but, I mean,
physical
Bledsoe,
condition.
You know, collected every penny of his contracts.
But
you know.
Tony Gonzalez at 29 was certainly well paid.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't think Aaron Hernandez is Tony Gonzalez, but. The thing is, I think that you just have to accept the fact that you might you have to sacrifice something. And I think the guys that Andy mentioned weren't willing to sacrifice. And the guys that have had the extensions, like Vrabel and Warren and Mayo and the two tight ends, have been willing to sacrifice those years.
And not even
so they
sacrifice.
Get paid. Yeah, or no,
Hernandez looks at it. I mean,
absolutely. It's a huge deal.
He won the lottery.
It's a
huge
deal.
That was his response. I won the lottery. My family is set for life. My kids can go to college. I won the lottery.
I was really struck with the gratitude that he showed. I mean, this.
Refreshing.
You know, rarely.
It was refreshing.
Rarely do you see a guy really acknowledge in public what a life-changing event it is. And he really, you know, came from the heart. This changed my life.
Mm-hmm.
This now, I know my kids are going to go to college. And I think that, you know, where he came from in Connecticut, I'm not sure it was the best of areas. Yes, there are bad areas in Connecticut. And, you know, I don't think he was certain of that. I don't think he was certain of his future. And now he is.
Or even at Florida. I mean, when you're getting suspended and failing drug tests, you're going down a road that isn't in the best interest of you and doesn't always lead to the best end
and
result.
And we think that these guys don't worry about that. They do. And now he's got a little bit of a safety net under him, or a big safety net under him. And he showed his gratitude. I hope going forward it continues where he does remember this
and
day.
You remember last week, I think it was, we were having that conversation about captains and Gronkowski and how we didn't necessarily look at either of those guys as somebody who could be a leader. The stuff that he said last night shows me that he, down the line, potentially could become one of those guys.
I agree. Yeah.
And that's something I hadn't seen from him before.
Exactly. We hadn't seen that side of Aaron Hernandez before, and it was really, like you said, refreshing.
Yeah, it was. I wasn't overly surprised. I've always liked him. He's weird. He has, you know, the tattoos, and he has a unique way of speaking, and I think some people look at that in one. I think he's always been pretty genuine, pretty open, sense of humor. You can ask him something, and he just responds pretty honestly. I've always liked dealing with him, and I don't think the public perception of him. I think he's seen as more of a punk than he should be.
Right, but and even with your perception of him up to yesterday, is more of a, you know, yes, very honest, but kind of aloof.
Yeah,
you know, but there was some serious thought going on yesterday.
Well, I mean, you know? Well, it's the intersection of two major life issues. He's set for life, and he has a child coming.
Right.
I think we all know that changes you. You become a different person. I mean, I've said it all along with Gronkowski, you know, the Brady comparison. Brady was a partier, and then he settled down, and he got a regular girlfriend and had kids, and he's different now.
Right.
And I think most people fall under that category, or you end up in a divorce and an ugly, whatever.
Right.
But most people settle down with kids.
And it's interesting that, you know, thinking he's 22 years old, going to be 23 in November. His daughter is going to be born almost on his birthday. It's around the same time, he said. Imagine if think back to when you were 22, going on 23, if you had won the lottery.
There's something funny coming from Fred. I can feel it.
No, but to have that.
I'd be dead now.
To have that sense. I mean, I know, like Andy said, he's about to become a father. He's starting to sense that his life is changing. But when you're that young and you get that much money thrown at you, it can go spiraling out of control.
Yes.
And still could, by the way.
It's
just because he said the right things on the first day.
Right. That's why I said I hope he remembers this
day. Yes, but that's a good sign, at least, that was his first reaction, not, you know, heading off to Vegas.
He didn't say, "I got paid, bitches!"
Right. So, I mean, I was just, I was really, like you said, Fred, I was really moved by what he had to say because
it
was
genuine. Did
you cry
like France?
No. But then he goes and gives the donation to Myra's Fund, too, which I think is another.
And that's another thing.
It's not just lip service
guys
that he was saying.
Immediately think to do.
Right.
I mean, I don't care how much he got paid. $50,000 is a large check.
Yep.
You know? So that was really meaningful. And, you know, Kraft said, "You don't have to do this." And he said, "No, I want to do it. It makes me feel good." You know, and there's worse things in the world than to feel good about giving to charity. You know, so, hey, good for Aaron Hernandez. Okay, so now we move over to Wes Welker, who, you know, is in the situation he's in. And, of course, after Hernandez's deal was, announced, all the media were ready to talk to Welker about it. And, of course, the questions were, you know, how do you feel? I hate those questions because, obviously, we're looking for, I'm pissed, you know. So, but Welker, I think, handled them really well.
And he might be.
Yeah. He might be.
But he handled it well.
You can't say that. You should never say that.
No, he handled it well.
And he didn't.
I don't think he's pissed. If I'm Wes Welker, I'm more pissed about the other stuff. You know, I see Jonathan Fenene got 4 million.
Happy for Hernandez.
Well, I think he knows they're good young players who are the core of this team who work hard. I'd be pissed at the little things where you guys gave Fenene $4 million and he got cut in mid-August, or you gave, you know, this is all money that I should be getting. You're wasting it on these little pissant players.
And for whatever however little it is, you know, $400,000 on Vasante Shanko, who,
right,
whether he's here or not, is not. You didn't need to guarantee him any money. I mean, you guaranteed a fourth tight end $400,000. Doesn't really make a lot of sense to me. And I know that people would laugh at that and say, well, Wes Welker's looking for a $40 million contract. What's $400,000? It's, to him, it's kind of symbolic.
Principle.
It's like, yeah, they're willing to throw money around at guys that they don't know about, but I'm a proven commodity. I've been here for 5 years. I mean, listen, to me, it's totally different things. If I was Wes Welker, I wouldn't have any problems whatsoever with either one of the contracts that just got signed with the two tight ends. First of all, they're elite players. Both of them are elite players, and they're young. And that's the biggest difference, is I think that you have a situation with Welker where wide receivers of that age don't generally cash in.
Right.
It sucks. It's not fair. They're, you know, and every other, you know, defense you want to make of Welker is accurate, but it's just kind of life.
I think we said this before.
He was undrafted, so he didn't get a contract as a rookie.
Right,
right.
And he didn't really establish himself until his late 20s into his early 30s. It sucks.
Right.
That's what happens.
And this is one of those situations, and one of the rare ones where you're talking about a player and fans, you know, real hardcore fans who usually always side with pay the man, are looking at this from a strictly business sense, and it's probably split in terms of should you pay him or not pay him. If not more weighted toward, you know, you got to do the right thing and just franchise him.
Do you think there's any part of Welker who is taking Paul's argument to heart that, hey, look, I was an undrafted guy. I shouldn't even be in the league. My story shouldn't even be what it is right now. I'm lucky that I'm even here. And maybe that he was asking for the big money contract as sort of a, hey, what do I have to lose? You know, I'll at least get $9.5 million. I'll get paid either by this team or some other team next year. Maybe it won't be, you know, astronomical, but it'd still be multi-millions that I otherwise never would have ever expected to make. Do you think that's why he's maybe not being so outwardly negative?
I don't mind him doing that, but I've yet to hear anyone actually, you know, with any credibility say what he was and still is asking for. I don't know what the divide is between the two sides. And we've said this from the beginning. You know, it could be a real big divide. And in that case, the Patriots would say, throw up their hands and say, you know, we can't help you. I said yesterday, look, you know, I think this, a lot of people said, oh, the signing of Hernandez means that Welker's gone. I don't think so, because I think Hernandez's signing was very reasonable. And, you know, it's not like they overspent for Hernandez and now they can't afford Welker and they couldn't. I think if, you know, Welker's side looks at that and says, okay, you know, we'd be happy with, you know, $9 million a year for the next 3 years, maybe the Patriots would sit back down. I don't know.
Yeah, you're right, though. We don't know.
But I don't know what they're asking for. Yeah. I have no idea.
I think we're all in agreement on the I don't think one has anything to do with the other.
Yeah, I don't either.
You know, the Hernandez and Gronkowski deals, to me, don't preclude you from being able to re-sign Welker if you want to. Now, the only argument against that would be, how much money do you want to have in skill position guys? You know, I know that sometimes they look at the way their roster is broken down, and financially, you'd have a big-money quarterback, two big-money tight ends, a big-money wide receiver, and another wide receiver who doesn't make, quote-unquote, big money, but is fairly well-paid in Brandon Lloyd for 2 more years. You know,
right.
I'm going forward, I'm, you know, after this season. How much is too much? And then, you know, who knows what the running backs are going to do this year. You might be in a position where you're going to have to pay one of them, say, in 14. You know, Ridley will be in his third year next year. He'd be looking, if he had, let's say he has a breakout year, he's going to be looking. At some point, how many skill guys on this offense can you pay?
But
staggered. By the way, you have a guard making the most money of any guard in the league.
But I think it's all staggered. I think as long as you plan it, I don't think it's really that problematic.
That's how I feel. That's what I started with. I don't think that Hernandez has anything to do with Welker. I think
if you want to re-sign
Welker, you can.
The way they've done these deals, you know, the bonuses are broken up. you know, Gronkowski has that 10 million dollar kind of extension bonus for the last 4 years. Hernandez's money was broken up into, I mean, it's all kind of staggered and balanced out. Who knows? I mean, Brady may be off the books in a couple of years, and that's 20-something million off your books. So, and
hopefully,
you know,
you're replacing with someone you have to pay a lot of money.
Will
to.
Fork,
but probably not right away, though.
Will Fork comes off the books,
but even if it's a rookie. You know.
And you, as long as you and if they
but
do the same thing with Chandler Jones, say you hit a home run with Jones and Hightower. Well, okay, after their second or third season, you extend them
right
to a true extension. So you've paid them, but you're divvying it out over, much like you've done with the tight ends. And as long as you keep all those staggers kind of in line, you're okay.
Yep.
It makes no sense.
Now,
I know what
staggers,
you mean. Staggers
in line. Staggered contracts. Sticking on Welker, as we know, he didn't play the last game, hasn't practiced for a while. Greg Bedard came out a couple hours ago, maybe, with a report that he had a death in the family and had to go back to Oklahoma, and he's dealing with that.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And that explains why he was not dressed but at practice on the day that he skipped right before the Tampa game, because some people were speculating that, oh, maybe he's on the trade block.
Right.
They wouldn't allow a player who's on the trade block to go to practice if they were going to hold him out.
Right.
So that
now,
makes more sense.
I have some questions here, and you guys might be able to fill this in.
But if he was
that,
here.
That reasoning, to me, is very sound on the first day that we saw, the day Ty Law was here.
Mm-hmm.
He walked off the practice field, and he kind of looked like he was sad. I mean, not to. No, I'm being dead serious. I don't mean that to be PFW-like. I mean that he looked like he was upset about something. Not mad, sad. That's why I use the word sad instead. He left practice fully dressed, walked by himself, clearly no physical problem that was visible, right? And that was Friday before the Eagles game? So maybe August 17th?
Yes.
Sometime around there?
Yep.
The Tampa game was August 24th.
Right.
And I'm not saying, like, I'm not telling anybody, if death in the family, right, whatever. I'm not telling anyone how to grieve before anybody yells at me. That's a long time.
And
for a professional athlete. I mean, let's face, you know, and I'm not saying this guy did it this way, so you should do it this way. Whatever, you know, it's preseason. He didn't need to be out there. But is that the reason why he hasn't been here this whole time?
And especially if you're going to be here, which he was, why not practice?
Well, yeah. That's kind of what my point is.
Yeah.
If he wasn't here at all,
right,
I would say, fine.
Right.
But Eric brings up a good point. He's out there at the practices in Tampa. Well, at least the second one.
The second one, he practiced the first day, which was the full pads workout. The second day, he was in shorts and T-shirt observing.
See, that doesn't make any sense to me.
And
that
wasn't
it's all related to a death in the family.
And then wasn't at the game.
It could be more than just.
So
maybe he did get dinged up and there's a death in the
family.
Right.
Well, that's kind of what I'm getting at here. There might be, there's more to this story to me than he had a death in the family that, okay, he could have found out about, maybe someone lets him know on the field at that practice when we're all there. And,
right.
Oh, I you know,
oh, yeah, maybe
says,
he had to catch a flight.
Wes,
yeah,
get out of here.
Right.
You do what you need to do.
Exactly.
Get out of here. You go home. Be with
right,
your family. That to me is,
because,
especially at this time of year, that's completely understandable.
Right. Because the day we saw him walking off and he said hello to Ty Law.
Yeah.
That was right before the Eagles game, and he didn't play the Eagles game.
Right.
And then he came with us to Tampa, practiced the day, then watched practice, and then wasn't at the Tampa game. So
right. if he wasn't in Tampa with the team at all.
Right.
I would say,
right, he went
fine.
Home and
maybe
well,
it was someone
be
very close to him and he
right
had all kinds of arrangements to make and,
yeah,
you know, all of this. But the fact that he was back with the team in Tampa on the field. Now, I mean, I suppose you could say maybe he practiced and mentally he wasn't into it.
Well, you know what?
So they said,
be,
you know what, Wes, take some more time.
It could be, you know,
I don't know.
That day he was told he walks off the field. Then the day in Tampa, he practices with pads, but maybe the second day he had a fly out right after practice. So they said, you know what,
right,
don't bother getting all sweaty and mm-hmm everything. You know,
very
so
plausible.
There could be a million reasons.
And he could have. He could have.
No, you're right. There are reasons.
He could have. Maybe it was somebody very close. And when we saw him walking off the field, maybe he was going home at that point to help make the arrangements.
Right. And then he came
back,
and then he went
again.
Went
practiced,
right,
and then went back for
right
whatever else needed to be done thereafter.
Yeah.
So it's plausible.
Yep. So
it's just unusual.
Yep.
Could you? I mean, you've been awfully quiet, Andy. Do you have any idea, or do you have anything?
No,
to add?
I think you could come up with a million reasons for the scheduling, and I'm just going to take a reporter at his word that he has good intel, and this is the fact.
Oh, and I am, too. You know what I mean? I'm not doubting the death in the family reply. I have no reason to doubt that. I'm wondering if that's the only reason why he's missed all of this time, because we're going on, like, 12 days now.
Yeah, but I think there's a million ways you could reason it. Once you knew the reasons, that makes a lot of sense. Right. I think there's a million possibilities.
Because I think we kind of all wondered if that was, you know, originally we wondered, you know, I wonder if he's dealing with something. When Bill said personal, if he's dealing with some sort of death in the family, I think that was the first thing that came to all of our minds.
Well, it's another case of we really don't need to be this secretive.
Exactly. If he had just said I had a death in the family, everybody would back off.
But he even said, you know, ask Coach Belichick. So to me, that's saying, I don't know if we're allowed to announce these things, but ask Bill. And if and Bill said, I wouldn't feel comfortable talking about his situation. Well, he just told you that
to
it's okay
about
to
his
talk
situation.
About his situation.
I know. All you
so
have to
it's,
say.
It's another case for me where the environment breeds confusion and speculation where you guys
unnecessarily
have to break down.
So.
Well, he was there. He wasn't there. He was in shorts. He wasn't in shorts.
It's like, another reason why, by the way, I'm not necessarily sure that's the reason that he's been out all of this time was the whole interaction yesterday. Ask Bill.
Yeah.
That was very strange.
Yep. I mean, I don't know why we'd have to ask Bill about a death in your family.
Although he did come back out and
practice right away. I think these guys are scared to death to say anything. And so he said, I don't know whether we announce that I left the team for a death in the family. Ask Bill. And if he feels comfortable, then he can announce
right.
it.
Right. Now, the good news about
couldn't
anybody
he just say
who's
it was a personal thing? Why would he say ask Bill?
Well, he said it was a personal thing first.
Right.
But then he said
and
ask
then
Bill.
When asked for details, he said ask Bill.
Yeah. But for anybody worried about the injury thing, we should point out he did go back out yesterday immediately after talking to us in full, you know, uniform, was out there practicing, and he said, I have no reason to think I'm not going to be ready for the season opener. So
if he
was dinged, it doesn't look like it's too bad.
Like he does so well, VIP strippers causing trouble on Twitter with Greg Bedard. Apparently, he told him what we said about disagreeing, and Bedard tweets out, we'll all agree to disagree. The list of players done early before Mayo isn't very long. So, in other words, we said this is what they do. He's saying, well, they don't.
Well, I mean, I give you a couple, and Ty Warren and Mike Vrabel and Jarvis Green right off the top of my head.
Right.
Three guys that were done early.
Yep. So,
and it's certainly as long as the guys that got contentious and left.
Yeah,
I mean you can balance it out.
So,
and
Paul will fight you later on Twitter. Greg.
Well, and I think, and Greg knows we love him. We don't have to. Cause this isn't like Ian Rappaport where we have to like you know apologize later because he gets his feelings hurt. Greg's a big boy, and he knows we like him. But we just disagree. That's all.
Travis in Goffstown, New Hampshire says, "You have to be kidding me, Hart. Are you trying to say that you liked Hernandez coming out of the draft, but you didn't love him? That's BS. You know it. Both you and Eric did not like Hernandez at all. You both said it in your pre-draft work regarding the tight ends that year more than once. At least Eric doesn't try to pretend that he liked Hernandez the whole time like you do.
What little credibility you have
is evaporating fast. Spend more time being honest with yourself and less time being an arrogant D-bag, and you might get places in life later, dog." Wow. So there you go.
I don't believe I ever said I loved Hernandez. I didn't love him. I believe what I said was I wanted the Patriots to draft Jimmy Graham, and had they listened to me, they'd have the two best tight ends in football.
Instead of Gronkowski or in addition?
No, I wanted Gronk and Jimmy Graham. And by the way, I if we're going to just go down the Hernandez thing, Paul said there too, I don't think Hernandez is elite, in my opinion. He's not an elite player. He's a very good player. Gronk is elite. I think there's a difference there. Now, maybe he can become elite, and I've said all along the two things that really keep him from being elite to me are too many drops on passes that he should catch and the nagging injuries. To me, that plays into being elite. Being elite means you're out there more often than not to help your football team win games.
Right.
He's 14-14 in his two seasons played. I just want to see where that goes, but I still have serious concerns about his hands. I think his hands are good, not great.
Right.
I know Andy likes to fall back on the words have meaning thing. Andy's right. He's probably not elite. But, I mean, out there more often than not, he missed two games in each year. I mean, he's out there more often than not.
Not out there more often than Rob Gronkowski.
Well, I didn't say he was better than Rob Gronkowski. I didn't even say he was as good as Rob Gronkowski.
You paid more than Rob Gronkowski.
Well, early he certainly did, and I found that strange. I mentioned that to you yesterday. Did
so
I not?
Comparing eliteness based on LRC paychecks.
Mark in Canada.
But what guys, you know, accept? I mean, that's. I don't think that's necessarily an indication of what the Patriots think of the players. I mean, they were able to sign.
I don't either.
I think they were able to sign one at one rate, and the other guy took another rate.
I think they went in order of importance.
Mark in Canada says, "Hey, gentlemen of PFW, just a couple questions relating to yesterday's league-wide roster cutdowns to 75. With all of the moves, how many players do we currently have on the active roster?
75.
Yeah. Is there anyone who was cut from another team that the Patriots should have on their radar? I was looking at some of the notable cuts, and I couldn't find really anyone.
I was trying to look for offensive linemen. I went down the whole list of transactions today, and there really weren't any offensive linemen that stood
Lonnie
out to
Paxton.
Me.
Lonnie Paxton. I want Lonnie Paxton. I think Aikens had a shaky summer, and unless Lonnie Paxton is significantly worse than he used to be, I'll take Lonnie
I don't know
Paxton.
Why the Broncos got rid of him, though.
Like, was he was at it for a flush snapper.
He was up to like $1 million a year.
Yeah.
If it was just a money thing, then fine. Yeah, I'd bring him back. I don't know if he's dealing with anything else.
Yeah, I think, I don't know what the Patriots salary cap situation is, but I mean, that's one of the ones that I actually would side with the Patriots on. I don't think you need to spend that kind of money on a long snapper. I don't think there's that much of a difference between the best one and the worst one.
Lots of people are
I'll remind you of that when they lose a game because Aiken stinks.
Lots of people are saying that Gaffney was a surprise cut. Anyone who was a surprise non-cut at this point?
Shenko. I thought I haven't seen him at practice.
Well, remember, there's a lot more to go. There's another 20 guys.
Well, but
guys.
They activated Fells. Yeah. So now they have Gronk Hernandez Fells. You're only really going to keep three tight ends on the active roster.
Yeah.
Why not just...
some people think they're going to keep all four. I'm with you, Eric. I don't see that. I think that they have too many talented players to keep four tight ends. You know, unless you're just flat out saying
run a lot of receivers.
Yeah, unless you're just flat out saying Aaron Hernandez is no longer a tight end. If that's what they're saying, and that, you know, he's now a receiver, and you know, we'll get to our offense thing with Freddie with your concerns about the offense. I think the phrase you used today is basically you're right where you were last year, only with Lloyd.
Right.
Well, maybe they're looking at it as well. Now we're going to have Lloyd and Hernandez.
Could be.
And then use the other three as tight ends.
Right.
I don't know.
Robin Marble says, I wanted to say that Thursday's show with the A-team was terrific. I think if we can't have the full crew, this is the way to go. As always, Paul is on target. But without Fred and Eric, Andy talks much more about football than people's mothers and does a great job. So does he talk more than football than mothers do or than about mothers? who knew he was smart?
Both, probably.
With Gaffney and Stallworth gone, the list of veteran wide receivers besides Andy's mom is Welker, Edelman, Slater, Lloyd, and Branch. Is there any one of those you would rather have seen cut to keep either Gaffney or Stallworth?
So the guy doesn't want me to talk about mothers, but he brings mothers into the equation.
Yeah, I mean, obviously Slater's the weak link there, but what Slater does on special teams – you know, he stays. So, no, the answer, I wouldn't have cut any of those guys to keep Gaffney or...
That was never even really the discussion. I think the top five for most of us was always pretty set.
Now, let me throw one monkey wrench into the equation that I don't think we've really talked about a lot because I don't think we've had any reason to think, but Belichick did throw Jeff Demps out there to return a punt the other night and looked pretty good. I mean, it was one punt, not getting lost. He's never done it, you know, at the NFL level. Does that make Julian Edelman expendable? Possibly. Because that, to me, is the only reason why I keep Julian Edelman on this team, is his ability to return punts, very good at.
That's the main
I don't
reason.
Want to see him really on the field in any other capacity.
I think he's kind of like, I know, but I think he's kind of like Slater in that they like the fact that no matter what area of the game you need him, he might be able to contribute.
Right. And I think he's a day-of-game roster guy who's valuable.
And sure. I think they like having guys
You're
like
right.
that.
So. I just don't want him. Other than as a punt returner. I do think he has value as a punt returner.
Maybe they like that he's developed a little bit more as a receiver, too.
Yeah, I think he's a better receiver than Slater. I think he's now shown, and I agree with Eric, I think he's shown a little bit improvement this year. He's consistently, I still think, improving as a receiver. Not great, not what everybody wanted him to be where, you know, cut and paste, he'd go from Welker to Edelman because the little short white guy replaced the little short white guy. That has not happened. And I think he's, you know, in a pinch, he's much better than a lot of guys I've seen on this defense play defense just because he's a better tackler. So Sergio Brown, if there's any consideration of a guy like Sergio Brown, to me, Edelman is 8 million no times question. More valuable in all
now.
Three phases of
no
the game.
No question.
Careful now. Strippers is going to start tweeting Sergio Brown.
I'm okay with that. He's a nice man, but he stinks.
Tony writes in, will Gerard Warren and Gaffney come back after the date on which contracts are not guaranteed?
Paul will handle this.
Always liked Warren's attitude and ability to take up space. Any truth to Gary Tanguay's assertion yesterday that he heard Gaffney came in with a big head, thinking because he was Brady's binky, he could skate this summer? I don't know where Gary gets that assertion. I did mention, you know, do we think that there may not have been an effort, you know, the full effort? You guys say no.
So. Well, I never saw anything that led me to believe that. I mean, a little stupid thing, but the day that Brady and Lloyd were on the side field practicing together, Gaffney was there the whole time. He was already hurt at this point, but it's
helping
not like
out.
He was just hanging out with his feet up on an ice bag somewhere. So he seemed into everything he did to me from afar.
I didn't see any lack of
I couldn't
effort.
Tell what mood he was in like Paul can with receivers, but.
You can, Paul?
He said Welker looked sad.
Oh, come on. Wait.
The guy who tells me I can't do attendance, I can't see the field from here.
But the guy was right in front of us. He walked right by the media tent when he walked down the stairs. He was from me to you.
I didn't see any sadness.
Okay. I didn't say I was right. I thought he looked like there was something wrong with him. It looked like there was something bothering him.
Dylan is from New Jersey.
I mean, comparing that to like a guy playing football and what mood he's in, that's not the same thing.
Dylan from
Jersey. You didn't yell at him about Gaffney and Warren.
Well, we already talked about that. I don't think that the whole game.
Okay, well, no.
I think if
we
you
really
want,
didn't.
It's listen, a hair across Paul's butt, this whole.
No, Gerard.
Oh, so don't guarantee you, sorry.
No, Gerard Warren, to me, might fall into that category. Whereas I have other guys that right now I want to keep and develop because if I cut them, I'm going to lose them. Gerard Warren, I'm pretty sure, is going to be available. And if I get a rash of injuries with Brandon Dederich and Vince Wilfork and Kyle Love, and I need, you know, an interior defensive lineman, I can probably call him. And in the same time, I don't need him to be one of my inactives every week on making a guaranteed salary for the season as a vested veteran. That I can understand. Jabari Gaffney, if you thought he was one of your receivers, every team in the – Jabari Gaffney, would you guys think would have some attractiveness for
the
Jets,
sure.
Miami,
yes.
Seattle?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
These teams that have been signing wide receivers left and right,
oh,
looking
Jets,
for anybody
easily,
to catch
yeah.
the football.
And absolutely.
I watched Hard Knocks last night, and
those
it's
are three
a bunch
teams,
of nobodies.
Those are three teams that have absolutely no answers at wide receiver. Combined, they have like three proven NFL players, those three teams. At wide receiver, I think that unless you have some sort of arrangement with Jabari Gaffney, I don't see why he wouldn't sign somewhere else or at least generate interest. Unless he's just not physically ready to play, so I don't in any of those scenarios, I don't think you're cutting him so you avoid the guaranteed salary. I don't think don't think that's feasible.
Hey, I want to remind fans that today at 4 o'clock is the second show of Fantasy Football Champs. They premiered last week, and I listen. It is great. These guys know what they're talking about. Todd DeVries and Bill Enright, they are the Fantasy Football Champs. They will give you your tips. They will get ready for your draft if you haven't already held your draft yet. Get you ready for the season. They know what they're talking about. So that's at 4 o'clock today on Patriots.com Radio. Fantasy Football Champs, really, really, really good show. If you're into fantasy football, you got to listen to this. These
big
guys,
debut last week?
Yeah, these guys are
rave reviews.
I mean, like, I'm not into fantasy football,
but
it. I was listening to the show, and I'm like, wow, these guys, I mean, I don't know if they know what they're talking
they
about.
Sound
it
like.
Sounded like they knew what they're talking about. And from the emails and calls that they were getting from the hardcore, they were really appreciative of the knowledge that they were giving them. So if you're into fantasy football, today at 4 o'clock, Fantasy Football Champs at FF Champs on Twitter. You can follow them. So get ready for that at 4. So, and they had a lot of emails, a lot of phone calls. It was a great show.
Big week for drafts
it's good.
This week.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, yeah. It's good, but I find it just nauseating.
Well, you know, people
so
are
I'm picking
it.
Between so-and-so and so. Like, it's so personalized. It's not like a general question.
Right,
that
right. What you know, but if you're into it, you're into it. You know,
I guess
a lot of people are into it
and into a lot of weird things. Ask Rex Ryan.
Greg responds to us, by the way.
Okay, you're fighting.
Anyway, he says that I'll bite. Back to strippers. Vrabel and Green were both entering contract years. Warren was only won 2 years early before this year, I think. Well, entering a contract year means they didn't have to deal with him.
Right.
They dealt with him early.
Right.
And they didn't rip up that year in the contract.
Right.
Richard Seymour refused to have that year ripped up on his contract. Deion Branch refused to have that year ripped up on his contract. Those were both guys entering the final year of their deal,
right.
Just like Vrabel and just like.
Are you envisioning
Green.
Greg's head on Fred while you're yelling in his direction?
Well, no, I think
no, I'm just
overall, I disagree with him that I don't think the Patriots are any different than other teams when it comes to dealing with these big contracts. Every team has the problems, but yet the local guys dub the Patriots as these skinflints, and they say it's a national perception. No, it isn't. I don't hear national guys calling the Patriots that. I just hear the local guys doing that, you know?
Yeah, I don't see the shift. I don't see
bad.
They're negotiations. These players accepted what was offered early.
These guys need to pay more attention to, as close attention to the other teams in their dealings when these contracts come up, and I don't think they'll see much difference across the league. You know, with
now, are you yelling at Greg, or is this a general?
I'm
not commenting on the other teams because I'll be honest, I don't know well enough what the other teams do.
But
Greg does. He's on football.
He's
a national guy.
And I think
that's
you're probably being sarcastic
but
with me.
No, I'm not.
I read plenty of these stalemates
across the
league.
To be on football, the NFL.
I thought you were taking a shot at
me there.
But
no, that's his job.
All you have to do is go to NFL.com and you read plenty of these situations with every team. It's not just the Patriots.
Yeah, I don't know what the situation is when these guys sign the deals. I don't know, you know, if they're signing extensions that are true extensions and adding years on top of the years that are already existing, or if it's a widespread practice of eliminating the last year of a deal and then extending and ripping up
and
that's
knowing
what I'm
those
saying.
Details and makes you smarter, but the
that
overall perception that the Patriots nationally that the Patriots are skinflints, I don't think I don't see that.
But we're not talking about that in
but
this
that
particular
was,
case.
Those
though.
Were the exact words used in his article.
And by the way, that is the perception, and it is national.
That the Patriots are skinflints?
I mean, I'm pretty sure it was Keyshawn who said, yeah, I could go to New England and play for $5.
Right, right.
But, I mean, he's not a local guy.
There
are examples of people making those types. Now, it may be just punchline stuff where it's become such of a joke, such of a common thought
he also
that
was,
it's funny.
Keyshawn was also a guy who was kind of talked about coming here at one point, wasn't he?
But that's what he said.
And he responded with, I could go there if I wanted to play for $5 or something.
But, I mean, Well, I mean, so he has actual knowledge
there's no
of what
doubt
was offered.
That, yeah.
There's
but
no
they doubt,
all have knowledge.
There's no doubt that the Patriots don't overpay guys, but there's not a lot of teams that do that.
I would beg to differ.
There's not a lot of
Tully Banta Kane, Sanders,
but here's
Jonathan Fanene.
Sanders.
He was grossly overpaid.
Wow. Fred, here's the thing, though, about that. You just said not a lot of teams do that. But around here, and this isn't the Patriots' fault, this is the people around here, the media and fans alike. Every time a guy signs somewhere else, it's considered an overpay.
Oh, well.
If we lose a player, well, sure, if they want to overpay for him, we'll let them have Ben Jarvis Green Ellis. I mean, that's just a recent one.
Well, that one was true.
But you know what I'm saying? I mean, name a guy that we've lost that wasn't overpaid somewhere else. Asante Samuel, system corner.
I would say Asante Samuel wasn't overpaid.
Of course he wasn't overpaid, but he was considered overpaid around here.
Yeah, like when he gets all worked up.
Do you not agree with that? The perception here was that Philly overpaid out of their butts.
Well, yeah, the perception here was fine. If they want to pay him that, let them go
ahead.
That's
the perception with every guy that we lose.
Yeah.
And that's so I think you're right, Fred. I don't think there's a ton of overpaying around the league, especially now with, you know, like the new CBA and all this stuff. It seems like teams are sort of getting their ducks in a row a little
bit. Yeah, every once in a
while. Being a little bit more under control.
Yeah, every once in a while you see a contract that makes you shake your head. But
Jason McCourty.
And I don't even think the Redskins do it anymore. They used to be a team that would do that. But, you know, they just blow people away in free agency, so there was no argument. The guy would just sign because they blew him away with an offer. But I don't even think they do it that much anymore. I think Snyder's kind of learned.
No, I'm watching right now behind Paul. I think the Panthers are a team that, was it last offseason they went through?
The two running backs?
Well, they've done the two running backs. They gave, I believe Charles Johnson is the highest paid pass rusher in football. He's not the best pass rusher in football. So they're a team, Beeson got a big deal.
Yeah.
You know, they went down the line and basically re-signed the core of their team to big money deals. I think they overpaid some of them. But that's their philosophy, keep the unit together.
Yeah, and I do think that there is overpaying that goes on. I just don't think that every single example of a guy that gets signed is an overpay. And I think around here we consider it
I think in general, they want to give in all sports, free agents get overpaid. That's the value of getting to the market. And market drives up
and
the
salary.
And then
3 years later, that contract doesn't look so bad.
You know, and for the most part.
Right.
And I'll look at,
I mean,
you know,
Albert Haynesworth, $100 million deal still looks pretty bad.
There's the again,
I'll look at the two, the two that we just did, right? I think if you, you know, were, you know, Andy, specifically you, if you were working for Cleveland and you looked at Gronkowski and Hernandez, I know how you feel about the two players. I think you probably would look at Hernandez and say, that was an overpay.
I don't think I would.
Because you don't think he's on par with Gronk, and he got money that's on par with Gronk.
No, but I would look at him as compared to, say, some of the receivers that signed, wasn't like $49 million, the receiver contracts these offseason, that like four or five guys got.
Yeah, I mean, I don't
know. So I would compare it to that and say, I don't think he's overpaid. But I think in general, the reason players want to get to free agency is you make more money.
I'll give you another one.
You have 32 teams bidding on your
and
services.
And you want to set the market.
And it drives the prices up.
But there were a lot of, you know, some of those things. Like, I think Vincent Jackson is an immensely talented receiver. He was a widely considered overpay in the offseason. Now, it would have scared me to give him that money because of his personal situation. Mm-hmm. He's one strike away from missing a season. So I would have treaded lightly. Talent-wise, production-wise, I would have no problem giving him that money. Josh Morgan is a guy who got like a 3-year, $12 million contract or something like that, a small contract.
Right.
Washington was killed for that. What are they throwing money around Pierre Garçon and Josh Morgan?
Well, but Garçon got a big deal.
These guys
right?
are good players. They're not great.
What did Garçon get?
They're not great. I don't know every single one. I don't even
I just
know
think
what
for what
Jackson
Hernandez
got off the top
has
of my
done,
head.
He got a pretty good value deal. I just think. He would have got a lot more had he been on the open market. I think if he goes to free agency, it's a much larger contract.
I don't think he was overpaid, but I think people around the league might look at it and say, well, Gronkowski's the much better player. How could they get
well, that's
the
where
same?
Just around the league, people say, oh, well, Gronkowski got $54 million and he got $41 million. They don't look at anything else and say, oh, well, he got $14 million more. He's a better player.
Well, you got to look at it. One of them was more years.
Right, but sort of because one of them is – I mean, Gronkowski may never see that. If his production declines, all of a sudden he doesn't get that $10 million bonus, and his career is spiraling the wrong way.
Or the opposite. Before that contract ends, they might extend him again. You know, who knows? You know?
Yeah, right. They're cheap.
Right. Thomas in PDX. What's PDX?
Isn't it the Providence Airport?
No, that's PVD.
Oh, PVD.
Tom would be in PDX. We know what that is?
PDX.
No? Port... Dallas excursion.
No, that
I have no idea.
I don't know. Anyway, he
even
says
for you that made no sense.
Tom says I actually think this may look good for Welker. They tried to sign Welker, but it didn't work out. So they take care of the next two pieces and get their guaranteed money taken care of this year, opening up cash next year to put together our best offer. At the end of the day, I think he's earned free agency and he needs to make the decision on whether he wants to play with Brady to finish out or go to a new system. Get a Super Bowl this year and I think it's all but a done deal. He stays here to finish out the dynasty and a shot at the Hall of Fame.
I thought for sure that sentence would have more Patriot-like tone in it, like, It's all up to him. Does he want to stay here and catch 120 passes and win 14 games with Brady? Or does he want to go elsewhere and catch 30 passes and
win
4 games?
You win the Super Bowl and continue the dynasty. I think you had a little, just different wording, but it had your tone.
I think if he wins a Super Bowl, it's much easier for him to leave.
To leave, absolutely.
Okay, I've got my Super Bowl. I got the monkey off my back of that big drop. Now I can go make, you know, $30 million elsewhere.
Greg Bedard's not letting this go.
He says, I love it. I think it's great.
He says Vrabel's final 2 years were dummy years that had to be renegotiated.
Is this happening on the Twitter?
Yes.
Or is this? Oh, yeah?
On the Twitter.
I don't see any of those tweets.
Or
is it direct messaging?
Let's see. Fred Jackson's tweeting about the Patriots, according to Adam Schein. Jackson on the Patriots, we should be in the same sentence, period. We have respect for what they have done, but we can compete with them.
Oh, I agree with that.
Look, all these people are saying, oh, the Bills are coming out cocky. They should be confident. Why not?
Well, here's the thing. I don't think those sentences
were contradictory.
I don't think
there's
that's
a difference
cocky.
Between competing. Well, I do. We should be in the same sentence as the Patriots.
Oh, but
is an absolutely ridiculous statement for a Buffalo Bill to make. When was the last time you won the division? When was the last time you were number one seed in the AFC? When was the last time you went to the Super Bowl? That's ridiculous to say you're in the same
division. PDX is the Portland airport, by the way.
Oh, see, I was close.
All right. Portland, I don't, Maine or Portland?
I don't know.
Wow. Right.
Paul's mad. Let him
yell at me.
Paul's mad. Let him speak.
Sorry,
making
Paul.
Faces over there.
Go ahead.
To the contrary, Freddie, I was interrupting, so I stopped. you guys were in the middle of something, okay. And I stopped. I looked at the whole thing that he said, not just one sentence. I don't just take one sentence. I thought it was two sentences, and I was...
It was, and I thought they were contradictory.
Yeah, well, all right. I don't necessarily look at it that way, but I understand what you're saying.
Because I think that's laughable for a Bill to say we should be in the same sentence as the Patriots. Laughable.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think he's talking about going forward.
I think the second sentence is explaining what he means. Yeah. Is we feel like we can compete with them. We should be on the same. We don't have any problem being on the same sentence with them. Right. That's what I took it as. But if you take just the first sentence, I agree with Andy. I mean, they haven't done it. They haven't made the playoffs since '99.
Alex in the UK, Andy.
And hoping, I don't think they're very good, by the way.
Andy, hoping you will know the answer to this one. If the Probably Patriots not. Successfully recover the money from Fanene, will they get any salary cap relief?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That'll be
a couple million dollars.
It could be up to 3.85, or it could not be.
Right. I mean, the money, whatever the money is that they paid, they get back, right?
Right.
I mean, it's kind of it's bookkeeping.
Maybe they can give it to Wes.
Robert.
Yeah, by the way, the whole notion on that Welker staying dynasty email, the guaranteed money doesn't just end in 1 year. I mean, signing bonus, whatever the signing bonus is, but as Andy pointed out earlier in the show, the way they've been staggering signing bonuses, there could be other, you know, I don't know all of the, off the top of my head, I don't know the chapter and verse of both of those contracts. There could be money, you know, payments due next year too, and the year after as well. So, there's all kinds of different ways that those structures can be done.
Andy's going to be fuming. You remember the Football Life documentary they did on Belichick last year?
Yeah.
That whole series of Football Life.
Please tell me they're not doing a Tebow one. Please tell me they're not doing a Tebow one.
Okay, I won't tell you.
They are.
The Faces of Tebow kicks off 13-episode season airing this fall on Wednesday nights at 8.
That's 13 actually a good episodes? One,
well, not just on Tebow.
Oh.
That's a good one, though, the Faces of Tebow, because he's a fraud. He's two-faced. So that's they're being honest. Okay, I'm okay with that, if they're going to show all the faces.
Well, and I will say this, too. If you're
touching little boys' penises in Africa.
This is just going to be
Did he not touch little boys' penises in Africa?
How do you know he did?
Yes or no?
No, he did.
He circumcised penises in Africa. You have to touch them to circumcise them.
Yeah.
The truth is never wrong.
Wow.
Leave Tim Tebow alone.
Now, so this is going to be a different guy every week?
Yeah, there's
Ray. Okay, well, I wholeheartedly Lewis. Agree with doing
Ray Lewis, book me on. Put it on the
Tom
DVR.
Tom Coughlin, well, Jimmy Johnson.
It should just be the Ray Lewis story. I mean, that's all they
They're
should
all
do.
Interesting so far.
I can't think
Tebow.
Of a guy that
They've all accomplished something.
Steve McNair. Doing one on Steve McNair. Marcus.
His life seems kind of boring at this point.
Not how it ended.
Wait, but aren't these like they follow the person around? And
yeah,
it's
but
like,
it's a documentary on, documentary, on the person's so. Life. So
No, but
I would.
I thought these were all based on like wiring up guys and like behind.
Well, they probably did have.
Well, I guess they're not all based on that. I mean,
be awful quiet.
Again, you're making assumptions about things you don't know.
Well, I've seen all of them, and they all involve wiring up guys.
See, that this is a new series.
No, it isn't. It's called A Football Life. Belichick started it.
A new season.
Faces.
It's a new season.
A new Faces.
The Football Life.
No. Faces is called
life.
Tebow.
The episode on Tebow is called The Faces of Tebow.
Okay.
But
they don't have to all be about guys that are alive.
Wait, is it a Football Life?
Yes.
So it's the same thing. Well, Belichick wasn't the first one of those.
No, that's
a long ongoing series, I believe.
Oh, I thought he was the first one.
It was the first one.
That we made a big deal about.
It was the first one last year.
Oh, I thought that was the series premiere and they wanted him to debut it. It was such a big deal.
I actually thought so, too.
You might be right. I thought
I think that was
because there's been a million of those on.
Since then. He started it.
He started
it. I mean, I don't know.
We just don't watch any if it doesn't have anything to do with the paycheck.
See, I love them. I think they're very good. I thought the Belichick one was fine, and I loved the other ones that I watched.
Other ones this year coming up, Marcus Allen, Barry Sanders, Eddie DeBartolo Jr., Chris Spielman. Might be interesting.
See, I thought it was a different thing, and they were using current players this year. Because you got to do Tebow quick because he might be out of a job soon.
That's true.
Rams fearsome foursome, Paulie. That's going back to your cousin Vince's days, right?
Sure.
So utterly disrespectful that's before, to everyone.
Fred Dreyer, Merlin Olsen. Who are the other two?
Deacon Jones.
Deacon Jones, not Fred Dreyer.
That's
two different eras.
Oh, okay.
That's why this is way before my cousin's time.
Fred Dreyer would have been Vince's era, right?
Fred Dreyer played with Vince,
Rosie Greer, right?
Reminds me, I'll have to talk to Matthew Slater a little bit more to go down memory lane.
All right.
They're also doing the Immaculate Reception 40th anniversary and the Untold Legacy of the 1995
You guys learned
Browns.
Me something today. I didn't realize that Belichick one was the first one.
It was the last of the original Browns, right?
Yeah.
The ones Belichick tore down brick by brick.
All right. Well, that's Eric and I have to get going.
Why do you have to leave? Why don't you make them wait for you?
I'll make the plane wait.
Zoe's not leaving. I'm still on the air.
Yeah, that's okay.
We might not take
so. We have to get going. These guys will stay. We haven't taken a break.
You got
to. But there's phone calls lining up. Plenty of emails to go. So Andy and Paul will stay with you until 2 o'clock. And guys, don't forget to promote Football Fantasy Champs.
Write it down.
Or Fantasy Football Champs coming up at 4 o'clock.
Football Fantasy Champs. Booyah, Dolphins cheerleaders.
Yeah. So Fantasy Football Champs at 4 o'clock with Todd DeVries and Bill Enright. Excellent show. If you're into fantasy football, this is a must listen.
As you would say.
So we'll see you guys later. A big, big week though, by the way. So
this is the close that
we got a pregame. We got a pregame social tomorrow.
It just
right?
goes on.
4:45,
and then we will have a PFW progress after the game on Thursday at noon. So we'll be here for that.
Oh yeah, right.
Yep. All right. So big. It's like an in-season week here.
Right.
And does the full season start?
God. The commercial break could have
stop
already.
Stop talking.
I gotta go. We'll see you later.
We'll see you later.
I love this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time. 2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice and football and baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback.
Finally, a card for the real world.
Copyright 2012 Bank of America Corporation.
Verizon Fios is America's fastest internet. How fast is that? Faster than Patriots linebacker Gerard Mayo can take down a quarterback, a running back, tight end, or an offensive lineman who just got in the way. In fact, Verizon Fios internet is more than twice as fast as anything you've ever seen. And that means Patriots scores, videos, highlights, and more right when you want them. Fios is built to support multiple devices simultaneously with a constant stream of your favorite Patriots content. And that means you get Gerard Mayo's sacks at Gerard Mayo's speed.
Now that's fast.
Welcome to a world of football where and when you want it. Welcome to Life on Fios. Proud sponsor of the New England Patriots. Fios available in select areas. Internet speeds up to 300 down and 65 up megabits per second available.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Right now, we're having a grand opening sale to celebrate our new Kenmore Square location. You can get Red Sox tickets starting at just $19. With tickets to all the games, home and away, for all your favorite Boston teams, Ace Ticket has the best seats at the lowest prices, always. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com from any device.
I say 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Pats fans, here's your chance to experience the ultimate road trip. Enter the Patriots Ultimate Road Trip Raffle for a chance to travel in style with the Patriots to an away game. The grand prize includes seats on the team plane, a room in the team hotel, a pair of tickets to the game, access to the field on game day, and much more. Proceeds from the raffle will benefit the Patriots Charitable Foundation. Buy your Patriots Ultimate Road Trip Raffle tickets today by logging on to www.patriots.com.
Meet Sarah, mother of two teens, Todd and Laura, who are going back to school with the latest smartphones from Verizon.
With Facebook and email, I just feel more connected.
They get the Oxford Dictionary app,
so they can prep for their SATs.
And she feels good about the family budget.
Two smartphones and a tablet, all on one data plan.
Sarah chose the new Verizon Share Everything plan with unlimited talk, unlimited text, and shareable data that connects up to 10 devices. Plus, use your Verizon smartphone as a hotspot at no extra charge. And now get $100 off select Motorola 4G LTE smartphones like the Droid Razr. Now only $99.99 after $50 mail-in rebate debit card and $50 instant savings. With Verizon, life just got easier for Sarah and her whole family. Visit any Verizon store, verizonwireless.com/sale, or call 1-800-256-4646. Requires new 2-year activation. Upgrade, early termination, and other fees may apply. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/bestnetwork.
And now, great moments in PFW in progress history.
From the photos Yanny was telling me
about. No. Unlike the rest of the world, I didn't clamor to go see Brett Favre's junk when it was available online. I still have not seen his junk, just like I haven't seen Greg Oden's. I don't seek out male penises.
See?
Unlike some men in this world.
Couldn't agree with him more. I've never seen one of those photos.
But I like breasts. But they said Jen Sterger photos available, see why Favre was after her online. I'd be dialing it up
tonight. Matter of fact, I have done that.
I like breasts. I'm passionate about breasts.
I think that's really funny, though. Why would you ever do like a Google search on Greg Oden's junk?
Right.
Did you see Brett Favre's?
Yes.
Did you see Brandon Spikes?
Yes.
I don't get that. I don't know why you would want to see
just
that.
Watching it.
That's another great moment from PFW in progress.
1 hour to go here on Tuesday afternoon, PFW in progress, and lots of great moments to follow because we lost the fat man and the skinny girl, and we're running lean here. Paul Perillo alongside Andy Hart, PFW in progress as we prepare for the preseason finale down in New York against the Giants. Fred Kirsch and Eric Scalavino just left the studio to get on the bus and begin the process of heading down to MetLife Stadium for what should be a scintillating game for Brian Hoyer and Ryan Mallett and the rest of the New England backups.
Can I bring up a quick aside that has nothing to do with anything that we've been talking about?
Is this
about?
Another fight with Greg Bedard? Maybe
no.
Shane Vereen involved like you were on Twitter yesterday?
No. Can you recall a guy who had a bigger fall than Vince Young? He came in as a rookie, you know, made some plays, won some games, got them to the playoffs. He had like a ridiculously good record in his first like
he was a winner
30 or so games.
He was Tim Tebow before Tim Tebow.
Yeah. And now he seemingly can't throw the ball from here to there. It's amazing how bad he. I mean, I was watching highlights of the game against Pittsburgh and all those things that we heard about him too. And like, just football wasn't that important to him. He didn't like it. Didn't study. He just thought, you know, I'll get by on my ability.
But I think it's the confidence, and he had obviously the suicidal thoughts, issues, whatever.
Yeah, clearly.
I think that's
more at
the
work
ultimate
there.
Confidence issue. Is like you don't want to live. You don't want to go through life. You don't have the confidence to go through life. And that's. But you're right. The fall from. The title game against USC, where he was the greatest college football winner, per se, and then into the NFL, where it was still kind of ugly. It wasn't pretty, but he was winning. He was going to the playoffs. He was the Tebow before Tebow, and I would argue better.
Well,
I think he could throw the football a lot better than Tebow.
I mean,
but yeah, now Tebow, he's probably done now, I would think. I don't think he's probably going to get another shot.
Yeah, I think he should be done if he's not.
He had like a $2 or $3 million contract with the Bills.
Yeah, he didn't get it.
No, I know, but I was stunned anyone would sign him for that.
I think I want to say like $325,000 or something like that. I just, you know, look, there's a lot of guys that are great in college. Maybe not great to the level that Vince Young was, but great in college, and they come to the pros and they're just nothing. They just can't do it. This guy showed that he could do it at least to some level in the NFL, and then all of a sudden, the last five, you know, and it's funny. I've seen a lot of tweets about this, but you remember that epic Rose Bowl game that you were talking about, Andy? Who was the other quarterback?
Matt Leinart.
I mean, could you think of more guys, two guys coming from that Rose Bowl not that long ago? What's it, 2005 maybe? Or, you know, January of 2006, probably. Now these two guys that are hanging by a thread in the NFL.
I would have predicted it for Leinart because I thought he stunk, but... I didn't
predict
it for
like
Vince
that
Young.
He actually couldn't even be a backup?
Yeah, I didn't think he was very good.
Yeah, now I thought, you know.
Now I thought Vince Young was going to be a star because I love him.
Yeah, well, it's nice to hear you actually admit.
I always admit when I'm wrong. You just don't hear it very often because it doesn't happen very often.
I always admit when I'm wrong.
I do.
Okay, save that one, Kevin.
Webradio at Patriots.com, webradio at Patriots.com if you want to join in. If you want to give us a call, it is 508-298-0398 on the Ace Ticket Hotline. And joining us on the Ace Ticket Hotline right now, out of sunny San Diego, is our friend Nick. And Nick, first and foremost, have you seen Lindsay Petrucci out there on the beach anywhere?
There has been no Lindsay Petrucci spotting anywhere, but it is great to be calling anythingbutpatriots.com, that wonderful 10-minute Vince Young conversation that you two just couldn't help but having.
Well, you know, we're all about all football, all NFL. He just left a division rival. We try to keep everybody informed about everything that could potentially affect the Patriots.
Sure, sure. No, that's completely relevant. What, the third?
All right, move on. What's your point?
Okay. So if you don't mind, I'm going to try to circle it back around to the Patriots here. And
we'll see how that goes.
What do you mean circle it back to the Patriots?
The Hernandez deal. Yeah. I only tuned in recently, just got out of class. But I was just curious, are you guys really confident that Gronkowski and Hernandez are mature enough to handle these type of money, this type of deal?
100% confident? No. I think there's risk with anybody handing
them. I'm not really
them
any less confident
40, 50
in them
million.
Than I am anybody else getting that amount of money.
Oh, I am a little bit. I had no worries about handing Logan Mankins $50 million. 0.0% worry.
Okay. All right. You're right. And I
that didn't take long. Wow.
No, well, because unlike you, I don't sit there and just start swinging wildly out of the corner. You know, you're right. Mayo, too, I would put in that. I don't feel great about just handing money to a young guy. In most situations.
And Hernandez acknowledged that.
You have to.
Those were his comments about Robert. The trust in me to make the right decisions. I mean, if he has problems, it'll be interesting going back to his comments from last night, because he openly said for him to have the trust in me, he knew the doubts about him coming into the league as a fourth round pick who probably was a second round talent. You know, he's the Mackey Award winner, but he had the drug issues, failures, rumors. Burt Breer was beating him to a pulp on it.
Yep.
And, you know, he's aware of how lucky he is that this worked out for him, I think, even dating back to high school and when his father died and he was kind of a lost soul for a while. So I think that's why he talked about it. But, yeah, there are certainly concerns about both guys. And it's just, that's how you do business in the NFL. You try to limit the concerns. And it's certainly less concerns than if you had just drafted the guy and had to pay him that. You've had him for 2+ years. You've gotten to know them. Now, I am all in on Gronkowski. I understand he likes to party and all that, but revisiting our argument, I think he loves the game of football and really wouldn't do anything to screw up the game of football for him. I think that's his life.
If you say so. One of the things that got me about Hernandez was the fact that one of the people who gave him such a ringing endorsement was Chad Johnson, previously known as Chad Ochocinco. I think he said something along the lines of, the person who is most like me in the locker room is Aaron Hernandez. That's always been a red flag for me, even though I haven't seen anything or heard of anything that Hernandez has done other than the pre-draft stuff. That's always kind of been a red flag for me.
Okay, now, Nick, I'm just going to play a little devil's advocate.
You ever notice that Nick's kind of everything but a Patriots fan? Very
yeah,
negative.
Even though he makes fun of us. Nick, I just wanted to, you mentioned that, you know, the guy who gave him the endorsement was Chad Ochocinco. If you were Cincinnati in, say, year 3,
okay,
and you gave Chad Ochocinco a $50 million contract, would you have gotten your money's worth?
Well, I mean, I guess
you've already thought too long. Yes, you did. You got your money's worth. He was a 1,500-yard receiver for about 5 years. So you got your money's worth. So Aaron Hernandez is in his third year, and maybe he's a little like Chad. But,
sure.
I think that, you know, you probably, you know, I don't.
They're
I don't
all
think,
like that.
I don't think Chad Ochocinco is a bad person. Let's put it that way.
The bigger issue is Logan Mankins and Gerard Mayo are the exception to the rule. 80% of these guys, and I'm just throwing that number out there, are what I like to call teenagers with bigger bodies and bigger bank accounts. That's all they are. They're
play
just like high school kids. They say, what are you doing after practice? Want to come
wanna
over and play Madden? Want to go see a movie? I mean, that's all they are. So, unless you're not going to pay anybody, you're going to pay some guys that you have some trepidation about.
Sure.
I don't know what I would have been like at the age of 22 and with $40 million in my pocket.
I like that Hernandez is having a kid. As I said, I think for a lot of people, having a child settles you down, changes your view of life, changes how you look at things, party, everything. Your priorities are different. And I like that he's going to coincide the contract here with the birth of a child.
Yep, you got a good point. All right, well, I'll get you guys back to talking about the Bills.
All right, screw you. Bye.
Later on.
If you want to be berated by Paul Perillo, it's 508-298-0398.
Berate anybody.
A little bit. On the Ace Ticket Hotline.
We have spent the entire show talking about the Patriots.
I
brought up 30 seconds of Vince Young because he happened to be on ESPN at the time. And no,
you know, people expect us to be straight and narrow. Stick to the point, not sway, no tangents. That's what they like out of us. Did you see my blog entry before I came down, by the way?
No.
Today's Madden 13.
I saw two blog entries saying the same thing, though.
Yeah, that wasn't me, because I'm not dumb enough, like you idiots, to put two blogs that say the same thing up there.
Well, I put mine up there and, you know, retired for the evening, and someone else put something after me.
For the evening? You retired for everything about 6 years ago.
my blog entry, Madden, to hype up Madden 13 coming out today. They ran a full season.
I didn't realize it was important. Go ahead.
Now I know how Fred feels. You done?
Yeah, probably.
Full season simulation 2013 Madden for the 2012 season, which always annoys me that they're ahead of it. But the Patriots go 12-4, number one seed in the AFC East. Tom Brady throws for 5,374 yards with 50 touchdowns and 8 interceptions to win the MVP award.
MVP.
It's a pretty good season, no?
I'll take it.
50-8 with 5,300 and change. It. Doesn't lead the league, though. Follows Brees again.
Isn't that exactly what he did in 07? 50-8?
I believe so. 50-7? 50-9? It's right in that ballpark. They also predict Wes Welker to have another big year. 111 for 1,400 yards, 7 TDs.
I don't think that's going to happen.
I don't think there's a shot in hell he catches 111 balls.
I'm not going to say there's not a shot in hell.
Yeah, I'm saying there's not hell a shot in hell.
Hell.
That he catches 111. They had Gronk dropping a bit, 82 receptions. No, they had 13 touchdowns, so that dropped a little bit too for, I don't know, 1,200 yards. I thought it was, Kyle Arrington, 5 picks, which I also thought was interesting. I don't think there's a shot in hell Kyle Arrington has 5 picks.
Well, it depends if the ball's thrown to him 5 times.
Well,
again,
that's
like
my point. What are the chances 2 years in a row the ball goes right to his chest?
50-8. That's exactly what he had.
What a terrible simulation.
In
why would you simulate it to be the exact same
thing?
I mean, I guess they can't control it. I mean, it's all pre-programmed.
Yeah, it was 50-8, 28-13 the year coming back off the injury. Then 36-4. It's just the silly season. And then 39-12 last year.
Webradio at Patriots.com. Webradio at Patriots.com. I know all, a lot of you are probably game freaks out there, and I love when we start to get the ratings in for the, you know, so-and-so's a 99 on speed and so-and-so's an E, you know, and the players care about that stuff. They always tweet about, you know, I should be higher on speed, I should be higher on strength and all this crap. What? That's Kevin Collins you can't hear in the background, which is better than when you can hear him on his microphone in his little booth. Checking into the show is Jess, who said, I'm assuming it's a girl. Could be a boy. Could be Jess Hollywood. Great show so far today, guys. I'm looking forward to incorporating skinflint into my everyday vocabulary, and I love imagining Greg Bedard furiously scouring the internet to back up his article. Bedard is great in covering Pats, but true fans know that you guys are the best source for Pats intel. I agree. Undisputed best email ever. Anyway, who do you guys like for corners on this team? I see McCourty, Arrington, Razai as the locks. And Moore, Dennard, Cole seem to be the next group. So who makes it? Jess.
Those are definitely the locks.
But I have an easy answer. Yes, I think the her list of six guys make it.
Okay, I'm with you.
And then I think you have the four corners, I mean the four safeties being Chung, Gregory, Wilson, Ebner. Because you have versatility here, I think they think a number of these guys, well, McCourty and Moore have already played safety for this team.
Correct, and this is what I wrote about in my roster breakdown.
You and have generally, guys that they're in that both. 9 or 10 range for corners and safeties, defensive
right.
backs.
And it's good that you have guys
that
can do both.
And that puts you at
10. And I also like you know, the flexibility.
Plus you have Slater and Edelman and those Jags.
You know, the
no offense, they're Jags on defense, guys.
The one guy, and listen, I think those guys, you're right, I think those guys are locks, but I think you're losing a little bit. You just, Kevin, you're going to need to come in and get the email back up for Andy. The situation with Dowling, I'm a little concerned about him lately. Last
concerned
week,
how?
Week and a half, his play.
Not
well,
I think they are,
play.
Too. I think he's moved down the depth chart, and I think they're coming to the realization, which also would play to our little, if you think there's a lack of depth at safety, I accidentally closed it. Now you got to, I'll do it. Let Paul talk for a minute. Paul, talk for a minute.
Yeah, I'm a little concerned about Dowling's recent play because he just doesn't seem to be, you know, I don't think he's progressing the way they had hoped. Now, the good news for him is he's been out there every day, and Belichick has talked about that as well. He's had an opportunity to practice and, you know, get his reps and whatnot, and that's good for a guy who's battled a lot of injury problems. He hasn't been on and off the field. And I think that's a big
sure.
thing for him. But I just,
all that does is prove whether he can play or not, and right. you might be learning he can't play.
And I just, you know, someone said something earlier in camp, and I know you agreed with me on this, Andy, that he just looks really fluid in his coverage. And I look at him the exact opposite. I think he
Who
looks
said that?
Stiff. I don't remember. If I did, I would say it, as you know, because you would make me.
Was it Bedard?
No, I don't know. Although Greg has been very critical of Dowling.
Oh, yeah, so it wasn't him. He
Probably
has ripped
him
since, like, OTAs. It's Vereen that he kind of
jumped back and forth across the fence on in the last week.
Which what? I talked to him about yesterday on Twitter.
Yes, that's you called him out. You did a fine job on that.
That's what Andy's making fun of.
If people didn't notice, a week ago, Greg seemed to be very excited about Vereen after the Eagles game, kind of had him in the running for the lead back role. And yesterday on Twitter, he had just a barrage of tweets talking about how he hadn't wowed him yet, hadn't been impressed, and thought there was a chance he could get cut. Now, he had him on his 53-man projection yesterday, but certainly sounded like a guy who thought there was a good chance that Vereen wouldn't make the team. And I'd be flat-out stunned. He could land on IR, but I would be more shocked than Jabbar Gaffney and Dante Stallworth together to see Shane Vereen cut by this football team. I don't think he's had a lot of chance to play, and when he has had a chance to play, I think he's looked pretty good and shown some things that they like in the position. Versatility.
I'm with you all the way.
All right, Paul. Guys, with the status... what is the status of Gregory's injury from the Tampa game? Thanks.
I don't think that one's anything to worry about.
How do I get rid of this?
Yeah, you know, I don't like to hit the little X delete button. The red X at the top there.
That's how I closed the whole thing last time.
No, hold on a second. Talk amongst yourselves.
Gregory's injury was minor. It looked like some sort of a muscle bruise thing. This?
Yes.
Oh, I'm back. But that doesn't necessarily mean he'll play. I'm actually assuming he won't play because he has
I wouldn't expect to see guys like that.
And you'll see him in the opener. But I don't think it's a long-term concern on any level. It looked a little curious at first, but once we saw that, we were fine. This is from Dan in Washington, D.C., webradio@patriots.com, webradio@patriots.com, 508-298-0398 if you want to join via the Ace Ticket Hotline. Dan says, hey, guys, two questions. Do you guys know the status of Brian Waters? No update.
We have nothing, according to Bill Belichick. Absolutely nothing.
Yeah, so my guess is the status of Brian Waters is at his house.
We could sit there and flip a coin and try to guess to see what's going on.
Everybody's assuming he's going to be on the roster. Most people say, about September 1st.
I'm not making that assumption.
I'm not at all.
Now, I'm not saying that I'm assuming he's not going to be back either. I'm not making an assumption either way. I truly do not have any idea what his future holds.
I'll do your comparison. When I did my roster a week, 10 days ago, that's a key slip there, I didn't have him on it, but said I could easily swap him in for Wendell or whoever, whatever. Greg Bedard did his roster and has Brian Waters as one of the 53 men on his 53-man roster.
And I will add that Greg is the only one that I know of that has spoken to him personally over the last, say, 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
So perhaps there's something
Bill or Nick may have, and we know them.
I'm talking about the reporters, Andy.
Oh, okay.
And if others have, then it's a poor job because no one's written about it.
That's true.
But so just because Greg didn't write specifically about whether he's going to be back doesn't mean he didn't have a conversation with Brian
about whether he's going to be back.
Right. Maybe he said, "Listen, I'm chilling out right now, but I'll be back. Don't write that, but I'll be back." Who knows?
That's true. Number two question from Dan in Washington, D.C. If Brady goes down early this year, like in 09, what is your prediction for the Pats' record this year? That's a good one.
My prediction for the Patriots' record this year? I'm going to say 12-4.
With Brian Hoyer or Ryan Mallett?
Oh, I missed the very important part.
Maybe
of
you should
question.
Listen on a two-man show. You shouldn't be typing texts.
I'm trying to keep track of.
You shouldn't be.
Why?
It's a two-man show. We don't have time for that.
Okay, I'll
that's
put
fine
phone
on a four-man show where Eric and Fred can babble. They're not good, but at least they can fill a little air.
I deserve that chastising.
Go.
See, unlike you,
Brady goes down. He doesn't say who plays quarterback. Just Brady goes down. What's their record?
I'm going to say in the 7-9, 8-8 range.
I agree with you.
So I think there's too much talent and too good a coaching for them to bottom out. I said the same thing, by the way, in 2008.
I think I said lower.
I predicted 8-8 in 2008.
I think I was at like 4 or 6.
No, obviously they went 11-5, so that's that's a lot better. Three games is a big difference.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying that I was right, but I didn't think they would bottom. A lot of people thought they would just completely bottom out. You didn't think they'd bottom out either. I remember.
I was pretty good. I didn't like Matt Cassel.
Well, I didn't either, but I liked him more than you did, and that's probably why I was a little bit higher on him than you were. But I just Bill Belichick to me is worth 3 wins a year. I think that he finds a way to avoid. You know how every team has those terrible losses, like Baltimore last year. Baltimore was a very, very good football team last year. They lost three or four horrendous games. The Patriots will lose one of those. They always seem to lose to a team that you don't. Last year it was Buffalo. The year before it was Cleveland. I remember back in Brady's meltdown on Monday night in Miami. It was a 2-13 team. They always seem to have a terrible loss.
Right.
But Baltimore had like four of those last year. The Patriots never do that because Belichick doesn't allow it. And I know that sounds so simplistic and maybe like we're waving the pom-poms, but I think he's that good. I think he doesn't allow
the teams to
fall
into that.
It'd be nice if
he didn't allow them to
lose
Super Bowls.
Well, see, you gotta, that's why Nick
if
doesn't...
If he can control
that's why
everything.
Nick in San Diego doesn't like you.
I don't think he said he didn't like me.
Well, I inferred it.
But Kyle Volo really calls me on something, and he's right.
Oh, wow.
Andy said that having kids causes people to mature up and applied this theory to Aaron Hernandez. By his logic, Antonio Cromartie is as mature as it gets in the NFL.
Well, I thought he was going to take a shot
I thought
at
he
you.
Was too, but I mean, it's true. Don't think Cromartie has matured much.
Yeah, but and I don't want to tread into this area, but no, I suppose it's not really offensive. I mean, listen, some people have children that they care for. Antonio Cromartie clearly is not one of those.
Right.
You know, I was a little concerned about how I was going to word that. I didn't want to necessarily say, oh, he's deadbeat. But I think when you have a guy that is on TV and it takes him a half an hour to remember all his kids' names, and you have all these stories about how he needs bonuses floated to him ahead of time so he could pay his child support, I don't think he's really impacted at all by the fact that he has children in this world.
Nope.
I'd like to think that Aaron Hernandez is going to be a little bit more responsible for his kid. And I know that Kyle was just making a point. And not
it was
that,
very funny.
Yeah, it was. It was the point was
you took it seriously and analyzed
no,
it and brought
no, no,
us
no,
down into
no,
a
I didn't. And
Kyle, morass of boredom.
Kyle, by the way, is work? A very frequent contributor to Ask PFW, so we appreciate his loyalty.
Webradio@patriots.com, webradio@patriots.com, 508-298-0398. If you want to call the Ace Ticket Hotline, I have to tell a quick story because I teased it on Twitter this morning.
I like stories.
I had a dream last night. And as Martin Luther King would say, it was an awesome dream. And it was weird. I was at my sister-in-law's old apartment in Jamaica Plain, which she hasn't lived in some 5 or 6 years. And people were coming over. And the host opening the door to the apartment was that while I sat on the couch was Glenn Ordway. So Glenn Ordway is greeting people at the door.
That's very funny. That part of it is very funny.
Tom Brady and Giselle come in with children in their arms. And they kiss Ordway on the cheek, both sides. And then they have the kid lean in and say hi to Uncle Glenn. So they call Glenn Ordway Uncle Glenn, Brady's children. So then they come in. Brady turns the corner and kids are just peeing all over the place. And they're peeing like there's a potty there, but they're missing. And Brady goes, your aim's not very good. And then Brady poops for some reason.
Really?
He comes out.
This is all that's on your mind?
He grabs a beer and he sits down in front of me and goes, so, you think Sterling Moore should start at cornerback? And that's it. I woke up. What does all that mean?
Well, you know what? I don't know about you, but generally what happens to me when I have those dreams and I have like parts like that that are completely vivid and I remember everything right down to conversation. And then I always feel like there's something missing that I forget why we got to where we got. And I'll bet you there's something in the middle of that that you don't remember.
But I just, as much as all of it's weird, the part where Brady sits down and asks me if Sterling Moore should play cornerback is like the most fascinating part to me. Like
that is... It's amazing, and I tell this every time that we talk about our dreams. I'm ashamed to admit how often I have these dreams about random things that happen here in Gillette Stadium.
See, I don't. That's what made it weird for me.
I
usually
it's
just have random dreams. This was very much work and Patriots related. But
well, that's, I mean, generally they're work related. Like, you know, I'll be sitting there and, you know, Belichick will walk by us and say something, you know, hey, you know, saw the piece you wrote, you know, really, you're going with that? You know, it's just like some sarcasm. Or the opposite, you know, like, hey, I really saw the stuff you guys did on the website. It looked really good. And I'm like, these are things that would absolutely 100% never happen.
But even if he had asked me, so you think Sterling Moore should start at corner?
That would make a little bit more sense than Brady asking, who I'm not, never mind.
He doesn't even know who Sterling Moore is.
You said it.
No, you were going to say it. In your opinion, Paul, this is from Scott.
In Atlanta?
I don't know. It just says, nope, I think he's, nope, in a different state of in New England, actually, based on
okay.
The email addressed.
Addressed
to us. Do you think that Catani makes the team?
I'm going to say yes.
Me too. since.
And I did not have
him
on my original.
I went with the theory they wanted a fullback, and they're out of fullbacks if they don't keep him.
I basically, on my offensive projections, I'm swapping Gaffney for Catani.
Okay, Paul.
I think Gaffney was cut, and I think Catani is going to earn that spot.
Good analysis. Good.
Yeah. Sure.
And who are the receivers on the roster on opening day, and what surprise cuts to the roster remain? Thanks. So the receivers, are we seeing as is?
I think that you're going with the five. That
no carry the tool man, Taylor?
I don't think so. Do you?
I don't know. They might like him. They brought him in twice now.
Yeah, I would go with the five that you know of. Welker, Lloyd, Branch, Edelman, Slater.
Okay.
Surprise cut.
I think there's surprise cuts coming.
Oh, I mean, listen, you never have. Bill Belichick is never, you know, completely conventional.
Yeah, but he's already had like three. Finene, Gaffney, Stallworth are all
surprise
cuts.
Yeah, well, the Finene thing to me was a different situation. That couldn't be. I mean, yes, it was a surprise.
Based on
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. I thought he was a roster lock.
Based on that, I'll go Gregory and Scott, and we'll just eliminate the entire free agency from this offseason.
Surprise cut.
Copen, I think you and I both agree that since he didn't get cut yesterday, Copen's probably not going to get
cut. I think he's going to stay, but I also don't necessarily think of that as a surprise cut.
Could he be the Waters guy?
Everybody has him. I think he's the Waters guy, yeah.
So if Waters comes, Copen goes.
I think that could be the case, but
I don't think Copen's going to get cut because I think now, he really respects him and he would have cut him yesterday.
See, that's how I felt. We both talked about that yesterday. And I also would throw in Nick McDonald. Now he's dealing with some sort of shoulder thing, you know.
Hard to play all five positions when you're hurt.
When you can't. And he's been, you know, and I saw, you know, we've been critical of Greg.
We or you?
Mostly you. Greg tweeted something that was interesting because he had some ties in Green Bay. Don't forget, Greg did, covering the Packers. He tweeted something that this is kind of his M.O., McDonald. He shows you flashes of being able to contribute and play, and there's always something. You know, he tends to peter out. Maybe, you know,
are we
it's
sure
a health,
that is
health
McDonald
situation.
Or just how Greg views him?
See,
one week
why,
he likes him, one week he doesn't.
And this is why
like
I say, no, mostly you. Because you're just a mean, mean, bitter little
man. The truth
man
is never mean.
With a big head.
The truth is never mean. I honestly think Bedard and I could have some really good fights.
Oh,
the vibe
God,
I get
yeah.
from him is like if he was a regular on this show or I did a show with him, I think I could get in some
well, the
really
thing
good
I like about
him
is I think you could, he's one of those guys that would argue with you and wouldn't necessarily want to, you know, be angry at you.
Right.
But like I said earlier in the show, you know, we used to do this to Ian a lot on this show and criticize things that he
and
wrote.
He came crying
he
to you
get,
and said, stop
talking
about
it. He would get
really
upset
me.
About
right.
it. You know, like, oh, it's coming off the Patriots official website. Well, no, it's not.
You know
it's
the
our
difference.
Radio show.
The difference is very simple.
Confidence.
Greg Bedard, well,
absolutely.
Confidence and knowledge.
Yeah.
Greg Bedard knows the game of football,
that's
knows
what,
the Patriots.
Yeah, we're saying
Ian
the same
Rappaport
thing.
Doesn't know the Patriots or the game of football.
Yeah. I mean, we're saying the same thing. Greg doesn't need to have anybody else tell him what he's watching.
Right. He doesn't need and a logo on his chest.
And I think the crap sheet did.
Okay.
Can we get back to.
It's hard to host this show.
You said the water. No, I'm on that email. Waters and Copen. I think Copen.
A cope full of
I
water?
Think, I think that one of the more overblown elements of Copen's going is because he only plays center.
Right.
And I keep saying this to you.
Right.
And
it makes sense. It's logical what you say.
I mean, I think that the versatile guy is Conley. As long as you have a guy that can do those things, it doesn't matter if he's a starter or a backup. Now, if he just isn't as good as Nick McDonald and Ryan Wendell, that's fine. If you just think he's flat out not as good and you cut him, I have no problem with that. I do have a problem with if he's a better offensive lineman than the other backups and you're cutting him because he can only play center, that to me is short-sighted because if you have an injury to any of the three guys inside, Copen plays center and Conley moves to whatever that spot is that needs it.
Sure.
And I don't really see the difference between that and Ryan Wendell's ability to play any of the three spots.
What about money? It's not a huge difference.
You know I don't like that.
You don't like money?
I don't like cutting guys. If he's a better player, I don't like cutting him to save
money. Especially when you're talking about hundreds of thousands, not tens of millions or something ridiculous. Our friend Brooklyn Matt, and when I say friend, I mean arch enemy who I hate more than anyone who emails this show. But Brooklyn Matt chimes in and says, ah, today is the day of days. At long last, the great Eric Scalavino is coming down to Gotham Town. As I awoke this fine Brooklyn morning, the birds were chirping on the... This guy is queer as a $3 bill, as my grandmother would say, on the windowsill, and the sky was a clear, cloudless blue. Alas, the joy is like Christmas morns of childhood, the day you jump out of bed and happily proclaim, today's the day Eric is coming to town.
Is that all he's some writing?
I don't know. Huh. I'll take the subway to the Soho Art Galleries and make sure their finest wine and cheese is laid out. The proprietors and art patrons will all join in and say, well, of course we're ready. Today is the day. The great day Eric Scalvino comes to town. Tally freaking ho indeed. What a fine day it is. Now, on the other hand, you two cultural curmudgeons, stay down in the bowels of Gillette Stadium and slum it on the social. That really was all he had to say. I should have pre-read that one. I wouldn't have read it. That was terrible.
Yeah. Well, it's Matt. It's Brooklyn Matt. What are you going to do?
Right. So you think they'll get together? You know what I'm saying?
I hope so.
Oh, no, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I hope so.
Oh, okay. That'd be cool.
I think they need to, both of them need to work off a little tension.
Brian in Essex, Vermont. Just because you were talking about it during the pregame show, Matt Suzaka got placed on waivers today also. Well, it's a little late. You couldn't make the Dodgers take him, too.
Yeah, I saw that, but I'm just praying that one good start the last 3 years that he turned in yesterday doesn't turn into something that
it also doesn't matter because he's this is the end of his contract, right?
No, I know, but I don't want them to say, oh, you know, we'll take him back for $2 million.
Oh, they won't. He's gone. This is Dave Neal. Fellas, I know it's early, but as of now, which team will finish higher in their respective divisions? This is a game. There's a few of them. Chargers or Broncos?
Broncos.
Broncos. Jets or Bills?
Jets.
Bills. Redskins or Cowboys?
Cowboys.
Cowboys. Steelers or Bengals?
Steelers.
Bengals. Lions or Bears?
Lions.
Lions. Before we continue with your email, we're going to go to the Ace Ticket Hotline. Chris with a TIAN chiming in. You're a bitch. Go ahead.
What's going on, Chuffy?
Not much. I'm just man in the big chair. You know how it is. I closed email once. I had a couple other issues, but it's been so far.
Yeah, you're doing an awful job. Hi, Paul.
Hey, what's up, Christian?
Suck my what? What?
Come on. PG rated, please.
That's okay. Unbelievable.
Lick my what?
Oh!
What do you got today?
The Hernandez signing. I think it's great. And the way that he came across, like you guys mentioned earlier, was, you know, it's really nice to see that. I guess I'm a sucker for things like that.
But you're no, because it seemed genuine. You wouldn't have felt the same way if it seemed contrived or his agent said, you know what you should do? You should go out and say X, Y. It seemed genuine, and that's why you're a sucker for it.
It did, and it seemed genuine. And in the back of my mind, I kind of always hoped that he would get done early, but there was something that was in the pit of my stomach that was saying that it was probably going to be a drawn-out thing because of his designation as a wide receiver or as a tight end. And now all that, you know,
I'm with you, Christian. I had my doubts. I did.
Well, I think it ties into Welker. I think if Welker had gotten a 3 or 4 year deal, this would have been delayed or changed. But he didn't, and I think they said, okay, well, we're going to see what Hernandez says, and boom, we got Hernandez.
And he's the he's the slot receiver moving forward.
Sure. And on the flip
so
side
I guess
now,
in that regard, there is some correlation between Welker and Hernandez.
Yeah. And on the flip side of that with Welker, he's a great teammate, and he'll say that he's happy for him, which he probably is, but, guys, he's got to be seething. He has to be. I mean, he's been here how many years? 5, 6 going on?
And, this is a sixth,
He had a terrible deal where we all thought, oh, my God, they're paying $18 million for a slot receiver when they signed him and traded for him. We were like, oh, my God, give him that contract. Now he was so underpaid, and I kind of feel for him because he has really been the guy, you know, Brady's guy around here, and yeah, he's getting $9.5 million. I understand that. I know he's not going broke tomorrow, but yeah, he does, I think, deserve a long-term deal. Would I give it to him, me personally? No. But just want to kind of get your thoughts on that.
I think the Patriots feel the same way. Does he deserve
I
it?
I do too.
Sure. Can I give it to him? No.
And you know what? You just brought up the $9.5 million. You know, tack that on to the 18.
Right. 27.
It's 27 million.
Pretty good payday now. Yeah.
And a Hooters wife.
It's not, but it's.
I mean, $27 million in a Hooters wife, and he's had some fun. I mean, he's been to a couple Super Bowls.
The way we're talking is like he's never made any money.
And he got hair. You're right. Life's not all that bad. He's got hair, a hot wife. He's been to a couple Super Bowls. He's got $30 million in the bank. I mean, there's worse places to be.
Sure. There are.
Plus, he's friends with Brady. I mean, he's going to be with Brady forever. He'll take him to Costa Rica. He won't have to pay for the flight and everything. Right? I mean, there's some value in that.
No, there is, but you know what I mean.
I agree with you. He deserves more.
I think everything
he's
you
not going to get it.
Yeah, everything you said, I think I fully
support.
Right,
the way
support.
You phrased it. Does he deserve more? Yes.
Yeah.
Can
would
I give it
give
to him?
No.
That's
the bottom line.
But I also, you can't forget that $27 million is a lot of money.
Yeah, but
Sure is.
He's looking at others. He's looking at 40 million, 50 million,
oh,
120 million.
I know. I know. But it's not like he just played on, you know, rookie contracts.
Right. I look at good money and then I hear what other guys in this business are making and say, well, that ain't right. I know as much as Tom Curran. I should be making how much he's making. I'm not. It's not fair.
Right. But, you know, no one's feeling sorry for us.
That's true. Good point.
You know, on your quote unquote hypothetical you just brought up.
And I have a hot wife.
And you do all right, too. I bought you enough lunch to last a lifetime this past month.
I was, that was very Andy Hart. Talk fast like. Any bets you want to make? You want to bet who has more catches this year, Hernandez or Welker? I'll take Hernandez. You take Welker?
I'm not doing that. I think Hernandez is going to have more catches.
Oh, damn it.
You've driven that into my head for the past 5 months that Hernandez is going to have 100 catches. So, yeah.
And I'm right.
Going with it.
As long as he doesn't get hurt, I'm right.
I'm not going to be right, to be honest with you, because I, you know, I that's what I think. I think he's going to, they're going to find more ways to get him the ball and, curious what you guys think about the Jets, real quick. I saw a little bit of the game the other night, and the defense looks pretty good. Not surprising.
I have read some. I have read some analytical stuff that, in all honesty, I don't normally put a whole lot of stock into. You know, the metrics and whatnot. That,
yep.
But those guys, those number crunching geeks that I like to call them, they seem to think that the Jets will be bouncing back big time defensively, and that a lot of their problems last year were because of all the touchdowns they allowed offensively. You know, they have like this.
The turnovers, you mean?
Yeah, they have this this whole formula for, you know, the amount of point. You know, there's an average of the amount of points teams generally allow on offense, and they like almost tripled the average of the amount of touchdowns they allowed last year, either as a result of direct returns or returns that set up, you know, easy scores. Again, I know that you can do this with stats and stuff. That's why generally I don't put a whole lot of stock in it, but I think there's too much talent on that defense to, I think they were like a middle of the pack in terms of points allowed last year. I think they're better than that defensively, but listen, I think the story with the New York Jets remains the same since the day that they drafted him. Until Mark Sanchez becomes a consistent quarterback, they can only be so good. That's why they can't compete with the Patriots for the division title, because at some point you need to have your quarterback play consistently well for 16 games. This is why I don't want to see them in a playoff game, because on one game, if he's got it, they become a very difficult team to beat. That's what he did here in 2010. He played well that day.
Oh, yeah.
If he plays well, they're a tough team to beat. I don't think that he can play well enough for 16 games to beat you in the division. But I think
I don't think they'll get
the story of their demise to me is wildly exaggerated.
I think so. After watching them the other night, Todd Scott looked like he found the youth.
Yeah, he just asked Ray Lewis where it was.
Yeah, it was in HGH. and
good
Wilkinson
call.
And
Kendrick Ellis.
Who's the other kid? Yeah. They're pretty good.
And I've been here. I mean, I haven't seen them. I don't watch a lot of preseason stuff. But Copels, I think, has played reasonably well too.
He has played well.
He did that night.
Yeah. All right.
All right.
How long are we going?
Talk to you later, Jets man. You suck, bitch. Staying with the Ace Ticket Hotline and another friend of the show, the Waffle Man, Olivier in Virginia. Olivier, how are you?
I am good, and yourself?
Hey, muy bien, y tú, gracias. Yeah, thank you.
It's funny that I awaken the cheap Spanish speaker within Andy.
Well, why is he going to be cheap?
I don't know.
So what do you got?
Well, you know, I just joined the you know, the show, so I'm not sure what you've spoken about, but I think I pressed the button on the online panic button, because I think that, you know, Volmer is going to get hurt again. I'm not really sure who's going to be in his wake to take his position. I hope it's not Cannon, because if it's Cannon, that's another issue. So I'm kind of concerned that, you know, we may have improved our defense, but if the O-line can't keep Brady up and protected and healthy, then, you know, we have another slew of problems that will be, you know, rising pretty soon. But what do you guys make of the fact that, you know, we have not signed up any other veteran O-line members that maybe come from other teams? Maybe we'll do that because a bunch of people got released today and would keep on being releasing next week. But aren't you concerned about the O-line? And what about the fact that our offense supposedly has a bunch of new weapons, but then we released a bunch of them, you know, yesterday, and I'm not sure if we are signing any more, you know, veterans and so forth to help Brady. So what's your thought on those two points?
Well, on the offensive line, I'm slightly less nervous now than I was before
Okay.
The third preseason game. I thought Nate Solder was a little bit better. Yeah. And I agree with Paul that when Copen was in the game, it seemed to kind of settle down a little bit. I'm not sold on Cannon at all. I have those fears remain. But my biggest fear for this line is Nate Solder. If Nate Solder can play, I think all the other stuff kind of falls in place and is less of an issue. It's kind of like McCourty in the secondary. If he were able to play, I think the rest of the secondary would look, you'd feel dramatically different about it. There would be better results. If Solder can play, I think the line will be fine. If Solder can't play, I think they're S-O-L.
And do you think that Mankins can take left tackle and Solder can take Mankins' job as a guard?
No, I think Solder's too tall and not strong enough to be a guard. Yeah, I think Mankins can play. I mean, we've seen him dabble there, obviously, last year. I think he probably could play left tackle like he did in college, but I don't know if he'll be elite or if he'll just be good. He's elite as a guard, and I don't like scrambling. I don't like changing positions around like that. Now I would have concerns about up the middle.
Yeah.
You got a Harley in the background?
No, I'm driving my new Ferrari, and it's making that noise.
You don't have a Ferrari.
No, of course not. I'm just kidding.
And as for the weapons, I mean, you cut the bottom of the roster. I mean, I liked Gaffney because of I think he can back up the slot. I think he can back up the outside. I think he's proven he can come off the bench and catch a key pass here or there for this team with Brady. But I don't. I mean, all your top five weapons remain intact.
Yeah, but we didn't really upgrade what we had from last year, right?
Brandon Lloyd.
Besides Lloyd.
Well, that's a big one. You had the second best offense in football, and you added a guy who was a former All-Pro 1,400-yard receiver.
You replaced Ocho with Lloyd.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
So that's an enormous upgrade.
Yeah. I thought we signed someone else from the Vikings. Is he any good?
Yeah, Kerry Taylor is his name. He was here for a brief period of time last year. On the practice squad, I have no idea, is the short answer.
There's two ways to look at him, as I said earlier in the show. It's a guy they have minor familiarity with that they brought in simply as a body to play in the last preseason game who will be cut shortly thereafter. Or he's a young guy they kind of like that they want to get another look at, and maybe they want to keep him around. I don't know.
Hey, before I go, guys, I want to say that when the two of you handle the show, it's great.
Thank you.
Pure football, pure analysis. You know, we don't need B-Low. You know, you guys are doing a fantastic job. I think that Fred and Eric should be on the road more often.
Wow.
Save that. Really, print that tape right there.
I'm just kidding.
No, you're not. You're being honest.
So you don't like the ridiculousness?
On the pregame social, too. I think it's great.
Thank you.
Why, thank you.
Thank you, Olivier.
So we will hear you tomorrow night on the pregame social at
4:45
on the Patriots.com and the Facebook page and wherever else you can find it. There's links all over the place to get to it. Dunkin' Donuts, Patriots pregame social, 4:45. Paul Perillo, Andy Hart, ESPN's own Adam Pac-Man Jones. We'll get a call in from a Giants writer. We'll get a call in from the press box at MetLife, Eric Scalavino. And we'll break down the game and the final cuts and all that other stuff heading into a little bit closer towards the regular season opener.
Yeah,
the Titanic opening in Tennessee.
The offensive line, I agree with you talking about Solder. I mean, that to me, if he struggles all year, I don't think that was really part of the thought process heading into the year.
Nope.
So that would be really, really hard to overcome.
Which is good, by the way. I still fall back on it. I know people are like, oh, how many times are you going to say that? But I trust Dante Scarnecchia. If he had no fear, I think if he said, you know, I think Solder might be able to do it, but I'm not sure, he would have said, Bill, we probably should have a guy ready. He didn't say that. They are all in that Solder can be their starting left tackle.
And this is what happens.
It's good enough for Dante. It's good enough for me.
And this is what happens, though. When you win consistently, I think you get the benefit of the doubt in your evaluations. And, you know, we might look back 3 months from now and say, wow, they really made a mistake.
I won't.
They should have had someone. I won't either.
Not with Dante.
I won't with Bill because I think that they've earned
Dante.
The right.
You
to
finish
say
the rest of that sentence.
I think they've earned the right to weigh in their evaluations over the past decade. The one thing that I would be really concerned about, though, is the other side with Vollmer and whether or not he could hold up. Because if he can't hold up...
He can't. Oh, wait, Vollmer?
Yeah.
Oh.
If he can't hold up, I don't have faith in Cannon.
What are the chances he plays 16 games?
Vollmer?
Yeah.
Small.
I agree.
Small. Has he ever?
No, I don't believe so.
I mean, I know he had a concussion his rookie year, right? Just so you know, I like to paint a picture for the listeners. Andy is farting right now to
oh,
the
come
extent
on.
To
be
the
professional
extent, to the extent where he's making his own eyes water. That's how bad it's smelling. You know, usually most people like the smell of their own. Andy is so bad, so foul that even he doesn't like it.
Now I sprayed a little green apple. We're okay. You ready with those stats? You want me to read an email? Okay, read an email it is.
He did play 16 games in 2010.
So. I didn't even like what I was reading about him, and we obviously weren't there, but warming up the other night and looking a little stiff and ginger, and because he was obviously in uniform but did not play. Yeah,
he missed two games as a rookie, and obviously he missed all the games last year that he missed, 11? 11 games?
He missed all the games last year
no,
that he
10
missed.
Games. 10 games he missed last year.
I understand he missed the games he missed, Paul. Good call. We'll get back to Dave in North Park's little game here.
Okay.
Who will have more TDs? Brady or Rodgers? So much for this being a fast
Rodgers.
Game. I will go Brady. Who will have more sacks, Alden Smith or Chandler Jones?
Alden Smith.
Who will have missed more games, Mike Vick or Troy Polamalu? Mike Vick.
I'll go Vick. That's a good one, though.
Who will have more interceptions, Devin McCourty or Vince Wilfork?
McCourty.
Who will have more rushing yards, the Redskins or the Cowboys? Cowboys.
That's kind of odd. I'm going to go Redskins. I think RG3 gets in some fake yards.
Who will have more passing yards, Roethlisberger or Rivers?
Rivers.
Roethlisberger is already hurt, and he's playing behind a bad offensive line. He will be in and out of the lineup all year.
Well, I think he'll have a great year, but I think San Diego will be behind all the time, and they have to throw more.
I think Roethlisberger is going to be in the 8 to 10 games.
You're down on Pittsburgh.
Games, but the offensive line stinks.
So what? It's always stunk.
I think it's worse than it's ever been.
Oh,
I mean, the guy they drafted to be a key part of it is dead.
That's a huge loss.
Sacks. Bills D-line or Texans D-line? Texans D-line.
Texans
rushing,
by a lot.
Rushing yards. Hernandez or Tebow? Tebow. I'm not putting my $40 million man back there anymore.
Yeah, Tebow.
Interceptions.
I didn't know who Hernandez was for a second. I was like, rushing yards? I'm sorry. I wasn't automatically just thinking. The tight end that we just
trades.
Gave 50 million to 40 million.
40. Don't exaggerate. Luck or RG3 for interceptions?
RG3.
I agree. But that was a good email from
but
our
Luck
friend.
But Luck will throw his share.
Now I'm locked out.
I'm extremely impressed with both of those guys. I don't know how you feel. I've seen more of Luck than I have Griffin, but I'm extremely impressed. I think Andrew Luck is going to be a very, very good quarterback in this league. I can't imagine how Colts fans must be thinking. You know, like, what do you think the chances are that you could adequately replace Peyton Manning? And to do so the very next year with a guy who looks like he could be potentially something like that? That, what are the odds of that? I mean, I think that's amazing. You know, Patriots fans, you know, would you sign up for that? I would. Have an opportunity to draft someone like that, you know, and to replace Brady, I would certainly. I don't know how you could get that lucky. Pardon the pun.
I see what you did there.
I didn't really mean it, though.
No.
You would have.
When they're the best. No, I would have. I planned those.
Yeah, you would have meant it.
Focus on the sentences.
Because you tend to go with the schlock.
We're going to go without emails for the rest of the
that
show,
schlock.
Paul, because I am locked out of the web radio email thing.
Yeah, well, we only have 5 minutes left anyway, 8 minutes.
I probably could get them on my phone, though, huh?
Sure.
Let's look here, because then I can read them. Oh, we got a lot of emails today. Holy crap. O-line, Liam Hill, Liam from England. Do you know when Waters, has
good
to declare
friend.
His 2012 status, or do the Pats just have to cut him when they get tired of waiting? No and no. They don't. Nothing really needs to happen. He's on the reserve did not report list.
Correct.
So when he reports, he'd be removed from that list. He can sit there in perpetuity.
Correct.
So there's no real deadline here.
And
there's...
he's not looking for a year, you know, like an accrued season
No, not at all.
So there's no deadline for him.
But
like Logan Mankins a couple years ago, if he wanted to become a free agent, he needed to report by a certain
right.
time in order to do so.
And I also don't think there is interest on either end of it being a partial season. I think they'll either reach an agreement and he shows up pretty much at the start of the season early in the year, or both parties will just move along and say that was the end of it.
Yeah,
right. I don't see him showing up in November to play.
If he's planning on coming back, I would have to say we're in the final countdown here. Sometime in the next week, we're gonna have to figure that out, don't you think?
Yeah, pretty
soon.
You
know, cuts are Friday. Last year it was the Saturday or Sunday.
Yeah.
Over that weekend of Labor Day that we learned that we were able to get him. I think it would have to be now. You all right?
Fred's thing doesn't stay up. Scott has a off-the-wall question here. His dad is old school, quote-unquote, and would like to know what games the Pats will be wearing the throwback uniforms. Thanks again.
I don't know that information as of yet. Do you?
No.
Generally, we have...
I didn't really ask, but...
We have someone here that generally lets us know that, and I haven't really seen him.
This ought to be good. Subject line, Eric's idiotic tweet. I'm going to need you to clarify. There's far more than one. This is from Robert McDonough. I have a bone to pick with Eric regarding his tweet at halftime of the Tampa game about Chandler Jones. He said something like, for those praising Chandler Jones after his have, he hasn't produced since the first half of the Saints game. Well, Eric, first off, he hadn't played since the first half of the Saints game. And if you...
What? That's not true.
That's not true. He played the first two or three series of the Eagles game.
Yeah.
This is going to be disappointing to me. I thought it was a legitimate rip. And if you closely watched him during the Tampa first half, he made a few good plays freeing up Spikes and Mayo and had a few pressures. The best part about this situation is that the first series of the second half, Jones came out with a sack and two pressures. I can't help but think Eric's negative attitude and jumping to conclusions is what hurts him in the ladies department. Maybe after the first half of a night out at a bar, he complains that he hasn't had any production with females in 8 years and gives up hope. Lighten up, Scalavino. I agree with the latter part.
Oh, lighten up, Scalavino?
Yes.
And all his
in
negativity?
General. Yeah. In general.
Yeah.
But, no.
I think we've gotten a little bit out of control on the Chandler Jones.
Some people certainly have. I have not.
Of course not. I would never expect you to be wrong.
I often get overexcited about people. I can be hot or cold on people. I mean, Rob Gronkowski, I've fallen in love with forever. Chad Jackson, I fell in love with.
I love your in listen.
But Chandler Jones, I haven't fallen in love with
yet. I'm going to say this because I know you would do it to me, even though I know you don't particularly mean it. You would do this to me as you did, 8,000 times during the course of the 2011 season when I said when the Patriots were beating the Bills 21-0, tell me again why they're not going undefeated. So every random thought that pops into your head and comes out of your mouth, you like to repeat.
All right, just say it.
I'm going to tell you on Friday night when you told me, I'm off Hernandez because he's too loose with the football.
I am.
And he talks to me.
I am.
You were all over him.
In
one little snapshot.
This was the year I thought he became elite. It's kind of like what I said earlier. He's never going to be elite. I am going to say it now. Aaron Hernandez will never be elite like Rob Gronkowski
I'm
is
off
elite.
Hernandez.
Like Tom
After
Brady
you've been saying all
is
year,
elite.
All offseason long, you've been pounding away that, he's going to do this, he's going to do that.
And he could.
Do this.
He will never be elite. There is a difference between very good
and elite. I think he's going to do that because I think they're going to. I think Welker's going to take a step back in terms of production, and Hernandez is going to pick up.
Just because you catch 100 passes doesn't mean you're elite.
I completely.
If you could have caught 110,
who are you trying to convince of that?
And if you dropped three more and could have had 13, that's not elite.
I couldn't possibly
agree with
you more.
You are at the top of your game and pretty much did everything you could do to be a successful player at your position within the confines of your team.
But you didn't say
in any
anything
given
about
game
elite,
and season.
Non-elite. Just I'm off Hernandez.
I am. I thought he was going to be elite. He's not going to be elite.
I'm off.
I'm sick of the drops, and I'm sick of the nagging injuries. That's all I'm saying.
But he hasn't had a nagging injury.
What are you talking about? Bill Belichick had to yell at him at camp because every day he would go over and get his right ankle looked at and retaped.
Yeah, but he didn't miss
and
any
sit
time.
Down. He missed practice time.
Oh, he missed like a play.
Practice time in the summer is good as game time.
Oh, shut up.
And Bill Belichick had to yell at him. Bill Belichick has the same frustrations I have with Aaron Hernandez.
Go put your bike shorts and spot belts on, Mr. Coach.
I don't wear spike belts.
This is going to game in the summer.
You done? Wally from Texas, New Hampshire, / New Hampshire, not Texas, New Hampshire.
Oh, I was going to say, is there such a place?
Hi, guys. Just want to know why I can listen to the Bucks radio stream without it dropping out like yours and on my Android, besides which never works to listen on Patriots.com. How can the Bucks stream the game to me in Texas, but you can't? Lousy announcers, but a lousy game, too. Just wondering. I don't know.
That's a Fred question as to
no,
why.
No, I'm sick of
know.
Saying that, too.
I don't know
every
what
time
the
we say
is.
It's a Fred question, he goes, I don't know. He never knows the answer.
No, I don't know the answer as to why.
No, but he doesn't.
We
either.
Haven't straightened that out.
We
thought
give
we
him
did.
Too much credit.
But didn't
I think he's asking about the game, and I'm not sure that's been finalized.
I thought that got straightened out, but evidently it hasn't. I know he was talking about the
contractually,
game.
Contractually, I read that one.
I knew he was talking about the game in Ohio. Skip that.
Join Creative Cloud for less. Oh, I don't think that's for us.
Probably Spain.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Oh, Jesus. You all right over there?
Well, it's not as easy on the phone.
No, it's not. Surprised that you would try to do it that way. Thought we could have talked for 5 minutes.
I
just
don't.
Wrapped it up.
No, I want. We're an email-driven show. I want people to have the ability to hear their emails read.
How do you like it when the smart ass in the other chair is busting your chops?
I read that one.
Read that one. Good radio.
This is Sean Reardon checking in. Paul/Andy, I really starting
hate
to,
you.
I think he means I'm really starting to think that Welker is done. I watched Comcast last night, and when he was asked about the Hernandez contract, he was obviously bothered by it.
What?
No, wait, I was on, and I didn't get a chance. The way they cut it, Welker said good for him. But the way they cut it right, so it was like a hard open, so it was like good for him. Like, they made it look like there was some sort of tone to it that did not exist.
I'll give the emailer a pass then, because maybe he got caught. Because I don't think there was any tone whatsoever.
They're a little sensationalistic at Comcast. They like to dramatize things.
Of course they are, but I don't think there was any bitterness whatsoever on the part of Welker, at least that he showed. Now, maybe inside, I don't know what he's thinking.
I don't think there's any bitterness.
I don't think there is either, but maybe inside,
person.
I don't know what he's thinking. What he showed yesterday was nothing along that
now,
line.
He may be bitter towards the Patriots, but I don't think there's any bitterness towards Hernandez or
those
guys for getting
paid. I'm talking about the Patriots. Bitterness that he didn't get his.
I mean, those guys are like
they got theirs.
One and two lockers away from him. They're right near there. I think they get along fine. I think that
and
whole
situation. Players in general, I think they like it when guys cash in. Now, obviously, they want to be one of the guys cashing in, but I don't necessarily think of it in those terms. I think there can be some bitterness when you bring in a guy from somewhere else and he hasn't done anything for you and he gets more than you. I think there can be some, but Hernandez and Gronkowski, as you said, two guys that are right next to him in that locker room that have been through it and done a lot of good things for this offense over the last 2 years. I don't think Welker would harbor any resentment.
Now,
there.
Somebody who might have some resentment towards Hernandez is Gronk. Cause I don't know if you saw last night, but Hernandez was joking. I'm not even sure Gronk knows he's set for life. If I'm Gronk, I'm saying, who the bleep are you, Albert Einstein? You're no brain genius either. I'll take that kind of a comment from Brady, but not from you, smartass.
Brain genius, huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm going to finish this email, and then we'll wrap it up here on webradio at patriots.com. I think the Pats gave him a number, and that's what it will be if he wants to sign back with the team. After watching the preseason games, Wick, I know, carry no weight, W-H-I-C-K, Edelman is looking a lot more like Welker in his route running. I'm not willing to go all the way there. I'm willing to say I think he's made some advancements this summer. Paul is not. And
I just think he's a guy that flashes in the summer, and he can be a reasonable facsimile of Welker, but he's not going to replace that production.
But he doesn't need to replace him.
No,
because Gronk
saying,
and Hernandez replace
does.
Him with him.
I'm just saying I don't think that he's the guy that a lot of other people think he is. Edelman?
Yes. Oh, okay. That's all I think he needs to be.
Yes.
He doesn't need to be Welker. They're paying Hernandez to be Welker.
I don't – listen, we've talked about the whole Welker thing, and Christian put it, you know, does he deserve a contract? Yes. Would I give it to him? No.
Perfect.
I think we all agree with that.
Yes, except Welker.
Well,
he has a problem with
of
it.
Of course.
Well, that's going to do it for another scintillating edition of the A-Team. The second hour today of PFW in Progress was brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts and Pizzeria Grande. Thank you for lunch. Great cookies. Great sandwiches. And busy next 2 days for PFW in Progress fans and pregame social fans. 4:45 tomorrow evening, we will get you ready for the final preseason game between the New York Football Giants and the New England Patriots, a rematch of last February's Super Bowl. And then it will be back here Thursday, noon, full house, PFW in Progress. We will have Fred and Eric back from New York. We will have post-game thoughts coming off the preseason finale, and we'll have predictions for the final cuts, which come down on Friday. Until then, go buy some Dunkin' Donuts, get some Ace tickets, maybe have a Subway sub, and then buy us lunch. For Paul, I'm Andy. Peace out.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.